You know what Andrea Darlis does better than anyone I think in the business?
Moves quickly.
She does move quickly. She's got the moves like Jagger, doesn't she?
It's better than Jagger.
I've never seen anyone with the ability to just be talking normally to you or to me or to both of us.
We do this every day.
And then she just weaves in and out of the news. Like when she goes to a story, as soon as the story starts, she's talking to us. And then as soon as it goes back, it's amazing to me.
We do that every day. We're always involved in something during a commercial break. And then all of a sudden, Kevin goes, here we go now.
Right.
And we can turn a corner.
I can't do it anywhere near as good as Andrea Darlis does.
I guess she is the...
She's great at that.
The best at
that. She should teach a class at the Columbia School of Broadcasting.
What would it be called?
Andrea's class about how to weave in and out of stories in real life.
Stop gossiping and go live?
Right. Something like that. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Thursday. You already know that. This is part one of our show. How do you reach us? Well, I would dial this number, 312-981-7200, and you can talk to us about anything you like.
We are out of the studio tomorrow. I forgot.
Tree time is tomorrow.
I cannot wait to go out to Pepper Road in Lake Baddington.
Now, the puck drops at noon, and that's with Steve Bertrand, who will be back from Ireland, we hope. That's the game plan, is for Steve to do the business lunch out there, and then we'll be on from 1 to 3. I'm not sure who's filling in for us between 10 and noon.
Yeah, Kevin, any word on that? Is it Lou Manfredini and Lindsay again, maybe? I have to ask Lou a question.
I think who fills in for us, I believe, depends on the winner of the Washington Nationals Los Angeles Dodgers game. So we won't know until that game is decided next night. Who's filling in for us tomorrow?
If you're a Cubs player, are you freaking about that, or it's just you play whoever it is? Are you nervous about it?
I would think that they'll be more settled in their heads knowing which of the two opponents it is, because you do have to plan a slightly different game plan for each of those two teams. So I'm sure that they would rather know sooner than later, you know, who they're playing against. I think they stack up nicely against either team. I'd rather it be the Dodgers for several reasons.
You change your mind a lot.
No, not on this. From day one, I thought to myself, there's two teams that I think could give the Cubs headaches in the playoffs, and that would be the Nationals and the Mets. So the Mets didn't become a concern. They didn't make the playoffs, but the Nationals still scare me a little bit.
They did pretty well against the Giants. How about that?
They did. Now, last night, I was fortunate enough to go to the Blackhawks home opener. And do you know who got the biggest round of applause, I think, all night long? Anthony Rizzo was there watching the game.
Oh, really?
And they showed him between, I think, the second and third periods. I'm trying to remember exactly when. No, it must have been at the beginning of the third period. They showed Anthony Rizzo, and the place went nuts. Standing ovation for many people, myself included.
How did Jim Cornelison sound? Because on TV, they did not have it mic'd properly. They had audio problems.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, normally you hear it so crystal clear and loud, and it sounded like we were just getting the audio from the stadium.
Yeah.
Was it loud and good there?
In person, it was flawless. Yeah, I don't know why there were mic issues.
And I had not noticed that feather headdress before that
Jim Cornelison wears.
No, they were holding up like a saluting pole of feathers. It was the coolest thing.
I'm not sure what that was. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, it was one of the military people were holding it up.
You know what they did that was really nice? They said, and we mentioned this yesterday, you had a slightly later start. We talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. The Blackhawks said to fans, we really want you to get here. The game started at 7, and they said it would be really nice for you to get here at 6:30. Come on out at 6:30 because we have something special prepared, but they wouldn't say anything else. So we were speculating as to what that could be. Well, because of traffic, unfortunately, we met. I wasn't there at 6:30.
You were late, Bill Leff?
Yeah, 6:42.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
And I had one of the ushers mark my ticket 6:42 so you could see. Just because I know you like to keep track of these things. So I didn't see exactly what it was at 6:30, but I don't know exactly what it could have been because all the lights were still on and they were still doing kind of a skate around. So I'm not sure what exactly went on at 6:30.
Oh, so you missed it?
Yeah, I missed it. But then, like around 6:45, they did this thing where they turned all the lights off and everybody was given this bracelet that kind of
it glowed.
Has a light.
Yeah, we saw it on TV, and Jim and I were wondering, are they bracelets? Are they what? It looked so cool.
Do you know what it looked like? Kylie went with me to the game, and she said this, and it's true. It looked like when you're at the Adler Planetarium and they do that show where it's like a 3D look at outer space. So all the lights are down in the stadium, almost all the lights, and all you see is the light emitting from these bracelets kind of sparkling. So when you're in there, you felt like you're in space. It was fantastic.
It looked really great on TV.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It really was so cool. It's unfortunate they didn't win and they scored their own goal.
Oh, there's that.
And who was the, I can't think of his name because he's a new player, and it was his first goal.
Ryan Hartman.
I heard people saying local Chicago kid, but if you check his info, I think he's not from here.
I don't know exactly where he's from. I don't know.
Because I'm like, Chicago kid.
Yeah. There were, I have to say, and you know, we had Grant Mulvian with us yesterday telling us this, so it wasn't a shock. There were a lot of new names. You know, I'm so used to it being the same old gang of guys that you see skating up and down the ice, and you kind of know who everybody is. And last night, the Hawks had 6 or 7 or 8 guys that I kept having. They have a thing up on the scoreboard that shows you who's currently on the ice. So I would go, I'm not sure who that guy is. You know, that happened several times during the game.
There's a schmutz on the screen. I couldn't see it. Isn't
he
one of
them? That
was
one of the players. That's his name.
It says he's from South Carolina, Ryan Hartman, but I heard the announcer say, local
from
kid.
Chicago? Oh, I don't know why they would do that.
I think Vinny Hinestroza, new player.
He's from here.
He's from around here.
Well, I think they might have messed up because Ryan Hartman makes his first NHL goal. How exciting is that?
That was a fun moment.
And, you know, the Blackhawks, it's typical. They need some time to warm up. It's like it doesn't look
right.
Like they're working as a team just yet.
Yeah, it's one
Jalmerson
game.
Wasn't in.
He was in attendance, got a nice round of applause during the introductions.
Looking
at the
handsome
beginning.
As ever.
I know, Kevin has a man crush on him.
I could hear Kevin just like hooting
swooning.
It up when they, they introduced him and I heard somebody just going, yes!
Like Homer with donuts is right. Kevin with Jalmerson.
Stupid sexy Jalmerson. Yeah.
You got it. You have to acknowledge handsome. I'm sorry.
He's a handsome devil. But, you know, I was listening to Ro and they had the red carpet and they were arriving in limos all dressed in suits looking great.
Yeah.
It's just depressing they can't win their opener.
Yeah, that would be, I've heard other people say, that would be the nicest thing in sports, that every team could win their home opener. But then people would go, the fix is in. How come every team wins their home
Only
opener?
Only Donald Trump would be saying that.
Right.
It's rigged.
Right, it's rigged. All right, let's take a quick break. If you want to jump in, we would love to hear from you. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Want to clear up a couple of things. First of all, we said we're going to be live at Tree Time tomorrow from noon to 3 on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. We wondered who was filling in for us tomorrow.
Yes.
It's Amy Guth, and I would like you to say her name. She's on WGN TV Morning News, and you have fun with her name.
She's a features reporter at Channel 9?
Yeah.
Is it blah, 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 blah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
So Amy and...
Blah, 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 blah.
Why does that not get old for me?
It's fun to say, I got to admit.
Even more fun to listen to, I have to tell you.
Do you know, here's what I read, that since she's been working over at Channel 9, more girls are being born in the Chicagoland area and parents are naming them blah, 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 blah. So it's like a nice tribute to her that parents are seeing her on Channel 9 and loving it and naming their daughters after her.
We should try and get her on the phone because I have a bone to pick with her. Not Kenneth Bone.
No.
She Facebook lives every morning with Sweary Mary whenever they're at a location.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be getting ready. I'm supposed to be making the kids lunches in the morning, and I find myself sitting there watching the two of them. It should be a sitcom.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea.
It is so funny. Also, we mentioned Ryan Hartman, first goal in the NHL last night.
One of the highlights of the game last night.
And we kept hearing, local boy, done good, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. I want, you know, you look it up, and South Carolina, Hilton Head, South Carolina, is where he was born.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bill.
But?
He moved to West Dundee when he was 2.
Did he?
So that
well, that's
totally
why.
Counts.
All right, that's good.
All right, I didn't know that.
That's that migration that you're seeing a lot of now from people who live in the Hilton Head area. Heading towards West Dundee. You're seeing a lot of that.
Step up.
It seems the logical move, doesn't it?
It's because the parent got a job here, I would imagine.
I'm sure. Of course it is.
I don't think it would have been a choice, but what do we know?
Who needs this Hilton Head? West Dundee, that's the place for us.
I've never been to Hilton Head, so
right
I don't know.
Right by Santa's Village. Let's head out there.
Isn't that east?
Yeah, that's in the next town, yeah.
East Dundee's next to West Dundee?
Yeah, they're right
who
next to
who would have figured?
They put them right next to each other.
And you mentioned that the person who got the most applause last night was?
Anthony Rizzo.
And how about this little story? Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You were at the Hawks game last night?
You know, I was not, but my son went, and he went to Will Call to pick up his ticket, and Rizzo was standing right next to him. My husband said, wow, what a game you had. And he said, yeah, it's really nice to meet you, but I don't want anybody to know I'm here, so let's keep it down low. And then my husband and I laughed because we were watching the game at home, and then, of course, they showed him, like, in the beginning of the third period, and there was all this hoopla about him. But my son said, what a nice guy.
That's awesome.
I love hearing that.
I like to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you could see, like, when they announced him and they showed him, he had this kind of, like, sheepish look, but the place went nuts, so he really acknowledged that big smile on his face.
Yeah, and my son is 6'3", and he said, Mom, he's huge.
He said, doesn't look that tall to me.
For a baseball player, I think he's, like, 6'4".
He's a big guy.
Really?
Yeah, he's a very big guy. He is.
He's a good player, but my son said he couldn't have been nicer, so, yeah.
Lynn, did your son mention at all what this special thing was if you got there early? Because Bill was running a little late and there was supposed to be a surprise or something.
At 6:30, they said there'd be a big surprise.
I didn't ask him. He didn't say anything, and I'm pretty sure he was on time. So I don't know. I'll have to ask him what the whole early bird thing was. I don't know.
I'm just curious. But, all right.
Yeah, and Ryan Hartman did play all the time in Illinois because my younger son played hockey with him for many years. So he did grow up in West Dundee, and he played for, like, Glenview, and then he played for Team Illinois, and so, yeah.
He
and then I think he went to
here.
The Mission or something.
And this going from Hilton Head, South Carolina, to West Dundee, ended up in Palatine his freshman year of high school.
How about that?
So there you have it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lynn.
Oh, you're welcome. Go Cubs!
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend, Lynn. Thanks.
So when's the next Cubs game?
Well, it's going to be Saturday night. A 7:08 start both Saturday and Sunday.
You nervous?
No, I'm not nervous at all. I'm just so anxious to see. I really think, I know this sounds crazy. They weren't limping along by any means, but they had a shell-shocked look to them through most of the last game. And I think what happened in the ninth inning of the last game, I really think is going to energize them and show them, even in a situation
you can
where
come from behind,
they proved a lot in that last inning.
And who do you want them to play?
I would like them to play. Blah, 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 blah.
I think blah, 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 would win.
She's very good.
That is fun to do too.
I would like to see them play the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And Drew, you'd like?
I have a friend out there, Tommy Lasorda, and we have a little bet going.
Drew, who would you like to see the Cubs play?
Well, I'm with Bill. I think the Dodgers would probably be the easier team, but I'd rather have them play Washington just for the fact that we don't have any more West Coast start times.
Oh, that's true.
Staying up until midnight.
Yeah, there's something to that.
So many people were bleary-eyed that next day. Those are really late times.
Yeah.
When I was out in Charlotte, actually, on Monday, so it was even later, I woke up at 1:30 with the TV on and they were still playing, and I think that's pretty ridiculous for anybody.
Good golly.
Especially a game where you want to maximize your audience and have the most people see it. So they come up against this. I said this yesterday. Whenever it's a New York-based team and a California-based team, because that's a really big time swing. So, yeah. All right. So let's see what happens. Either way, I think it'll be the Cubs, don't you?
I agree. Go Cubs.
Thanks, Drew.
Good luck, Drew. Thanks for calling. Good luck, Bill. Good luck, Cubs fans.
Oh, I love hearing you say this.
I don't even.
You seem very
have
genuine.
An ulterior motive.
You want to see the Cubs win
just this year.
All right, but next
then
year.
Then that's enough for a
you
while.
Want the dynasty to be over.
Yeah, well, then the Sox have to win it.
I want them both to win it.
Wouldn't that
that's
be
my
something?
Dream.
That's a dream.
My dream. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Steve Grzanich has the news. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. He went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said. And he prepped the pot roast all over his chest. Well, he has the title of Excitable Boy because, well, you're about to find out.
He's an excitable boy.
Everyone's going to find out. David Hochberg is here. David, hi. How are you? Nice to
see you. I'm fantastic. Happy New Year to all the Jews out there.
Thank you.
No problem.
Half a thank you from me.
I understand.
I just like pastrami. So.
Right. Who doesn't?
So honorarily, Wendy has also just been given a greeting. What's up? How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm glad to be here.
I know what a big sports fan you are. Are you enjoying this week?
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, I'm a Chicago sports fan, so I really, you know, I go down, Cubs, Sox, whatever, as long as they're winning. It was fun watching the game. I'm a big hockey fan. I'm more of a Hawks fan, Blackhawks fan, and, you know, I'm happy for the city. It's good for the city. God knows we need as many winners as we could get here at sports teams.
It
drives people to come to the city to spend money, and it helps businesses and local communities.
Have
it's
you
great.
Taken melatonin this morning or
no,
something?
No, no.
Because you're very mellow.
Well, yeah, the coffee's a little weak here. So,
David has helped several Blackhawks refinance their goals.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? I didn't know people could do that, but you've really shown us something. That
Either have I until just now, so that's news to me as well.
Well, we just finished our refi. Thank you for that. Thanks to you and Pearl Mortgage. This is our, fourth one?
About fourth or fifth, and you're saving a substantial amount of money, and it will help you financially in the long run, and it was a good thing.
It was a good thing, and it's. I got to tell you, you take the stress out of it, because you know when you start talking numbers, I start freaking out.
Yep. I had to talk to Jimmy, and then I had to talk to you four times because you didn't understand what was going on.
I know. I would text you.
Right. Are you sure we should do this? I'm like, put the phone down and pick up the wine. Enough already with the questions. Yes, you're saving a lot of money. It's not costing anything. I don't understand. There's nothing to understand.
Just sign here.
Just sign it.
For the love of God.
Some people might not like that approach, but I'm telling you, if you want honest answers, if you have any questions, David Hochberg is the guy.
But we get to the end. We get to the end of the transaction. We're trying to schedule the closing, and I get a text. I really don't know if we should do this. I don't understand.
Will you shut up and get on with your
program
here?
So there we go. So it all worked out.
Here's an obvious question. I think this is an obvious question, but it's one I always think about. Because of the way things have been the last couple of years, I know several people, Wendy included, have refinanced several times in a very short span of time.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, because it cost you how much in closing costs to pay?
Nothing.
Yeah. So, okay. And, you know, some people are like, oh, well, you know, you keep kicking it back, you know, 30 years and da-da-da-da-da. You know, here, you know, I will
never have my house paid off.
Thank you.
Okay. I really won't.
Would you rather save $3,000 to $4,000 a year on other things that come up, like life, right?
Yep.
Like maybe your car breaks down and you or a tire blows out, or you need a new air conditioner.
Or a roof.
Or a new heater maybe for $4,000 to $5,000. Or maybe your kid falls down and breaks something. You know, kids never run into anything or break anything and never go, you know, God knows what I've spent over the past year on medical bills, you know, for my three beautiful girls that, you know, like to run into things and don't, you know, like walls and break things.
Right.
So, you know, it's what kids do, right? And you got to feed them. You got to clothe them.
Here it comes.
You got to put them into 17 freaking different exercises and a dance class and singing and then soccer. And
It all adds up.
It all adds up. I mean, you know.
Right.
What do we do? Gilligan's Island. Okay, that was it. Rode our bike.
What?
I had the Schwinn bike with the banana seat, with the streamers. That's what we did. We didn't have 15 freaking different exercises going on. Dance class and everything else, soccer and lacrosse.
Right.
It's exhausting. It's expensive.
All right, so if
Lewis Black just texted and said, calm down. Tell David to calm down.
I ate a Snickers. I'm back.
All right, you'll be fine.
If you are, what could we say if your interest rate is at what percent maybe they should call you to refi?
If it starts with a 4, okay? And you know what? A lot of people in 15-year fixed loans got three emails this morning. I'm in a 15-year fixed loan. I've got $30,000 credit card debt. I've got $15,000 in credit card debt. You know what? We helped our son out and our daughter out when they were going through financial challenges. We had the resources. They didn't. It hasn't gotten any better. We'd like to refinance out of our 15-year fixed loan to roll the $40,000 into our mortgage. You know, I've got to make this stuff go away because we want to have the house off before we're retired. So it's not just an interest rate. It's a lifestyle. It's where are you in your personal financial situation? It's like everybody, I got a question today, you know, how much does your credit score jump if I'm going through a divorce and my wife takes me off, my ex-wife takes me off the mortgage? Well, it's a loaded question, right? I don't know where the guy's credit score is at the beginning.
Right.
Did he have a lot of credit? Does he not have a lot of credit? Because a credit score is like a cake. It's, you know, you need different recipes, you know, you need different ingredients. If you take a mortgage off the guy's credit report, it might hurt him. But you know what? If he has a lot of credit to support it, taking the mortgage off might increase it by 20, 30 points. So when I hear if you're in the forest, call me. It drives me crazy. Okay, if you think you're paying too much,
Or if you'd like to just see your options.
It's a free consultation.
Or if people just want to meet you.
If people just want to talk about about life experiences and how to raise their children.
Don't call David on that.
I'm fine.
All right.
Know, yeah. You know, just here. It's very simple. Very simple. Scan a copy of your mortgage statement into the computer, into the box, and send it to me via email. We'll be able to look at your mortgage statement and tell you if it makes sense. Some people, I'll tell you right now, some people have kids graduating from high school within the next 18 months that are in 30-year fixed loans that are paying $8,000 to $15,000 in real estate taxes on a home that they're not going to be in the next 3 years. Because once that son or daughter or the twins walk down the aisle and get their diploma, for sale goes up in the front lawn, and they're going to sell the home. They're sitting in 30-year loans, 15-year loans. You should be in a 5-year ARM, a 7-year ARM. Mm-hmm. Start saving some money. Think about that next move now. Rolling in that debt that you have now, clean up the credit over the next year, 18 months, to put yourself into position so when you go buy that next home, your credit scores are the highest they could be, and all that extra money that you're blowing on credit card debt, you could use that to save up for a bigger down payment or as an emergency fund.
Can I tell you something? The last several cars, now we're going back 10 or 12 years now, the last three cars I've bought, people who are selling me the car always ask me this question. Do you think you'll have this car in 3 years or in 5 years or in 10 years? And I get that with a car, but it actually, that's a better question when it comes to where you're living, isn't it?
We always ask that question. It's one of the first questions we always ask. I have 15 loan officers now working on Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. It's a real creative, name, but it works. And, you know, it's the first thing I teach them is to ask the borrower that calls in if they're refinancing or if they plan on buying as well. How long do you plan on living in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because sometimes we get transitional buyers, you know, want to come in, want to come out, and they sold their house. They have to roll the equity over. Fine. How long are you going to be here? Well, you know what? We came in. My husband's an executive at a Fortune 500 company. We want to be in X school district, right? We want to be in Lyon Township. We want to be in New Trier. We want to be in 225 in the Glenbrooks, whatever you're at, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. You know what? Let's put you into a 5 or 7 year ARM. You can save yourself a half a point in the interest rate. Half a point in the interest rate on a loan.
It's a big deal.
It's a couple thousand dollars a year.
Yeah.
And then you know what? Check your real estate tax bill, folks. Okay, guess what? After the election, those are going up again.
How can it go up anymore? That's what I would like to know.
We're freaking broke. And the people in Springfield don't have the stones to tell you that we're broke.
Why don't you refi them?
I do a lot of state elected officials, and you know they're all nice people, but you know. What are you going to do? It is what it is. We're broke.
We have to take a break. I want to tell you, you turned me on to Credit Karma.
Yeah.
It is the best thing I've ever done. They send me updates to say, oh, your credit rating just went up.
Right. And it costs you what?
Zero.
Thank you.
So is it creditkarma.com?
Credit Karma. It's run by TransUnion.
Love it.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. And it's a free service, so why not?
All right, questions 312-981-7200. He's David Hochberg, and you can find him at WGNDavid.com or your phone number 312-731-1333. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Look who's here. It's the excitable boy, David Hochberg.
The number one selling Halloween costume for 2016, by the way. Did you know that, David? I just looked at the list today.
Is excitable boy?
No, it's you.
It's me?
Yeah.
That's pretty scary in and of itself.
People give an offer on candy at Halloween, and you go, you know what? I can save you a couple Tootsie Rolls. Hold on a second.
Yeah. So, somebody sent an email out to all the Pearl Mortgage saying, the number three top rated costumes, you know, I'm in the mix. It was like Angry Clowns, David Hochberg, and the Postal Worker.
That's excellent.
Like that. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm glad I made the cut.
Do you want to talk real quickly about the Fresh Start program? We can get a couple calls in as well.
Sure. Yeah. It's very simple. I get a lot of calls. Can people refinance or purchase a home with an open IRS tax lien? And the question is not if it's open, but yes, if it's settled under the Fresh Start program. We've done a number of these type of loans where people that have under $25,000 in IRS tax liens, they put a lien against your credit report, which socks your credit score down pretty hard, and it prohibits you from refinancing. We work with a gentleman called Stephen A. Leahy from Opum Tax Resolutions. He's right here in the city. What he does is he negotiates a settlement with the IRS for all your open tax liens. It has to be under $25,000.
And what could a tax lien be? Give me a for example.
You're self-employed and didn't file your withholding taxes.
Okay.
A lot of people are out there doing that. You had a small business and kind of forgot you know, on purpose or legitimately, or you didn't think you had to do it, or you just didn't file tax returns and the IRS filed the forms for you because and they base it off of your 1099s that you received if you're self-employed. So maybe they overstated your income because there were no deductions to take out. I know we're getting technical here, but there's a lot of different reasons that you could have tax liens. Give Steve a call. He'll negotiate a settlement. What we'll do is there's a payment associated with that settlement. We use that payment against you to count against your ratios when you go to qualify, and then you're able to buy a home or refinance your home. So it's a great program. Steve's number is 312-664-6649. He's a good guy, huge Cubs fan. He's a 20-plus year season ticket holder, not that that matters, but he's very happy at this time of year right now.
Finally. And there's information on WGNDavid.com if someone didn't grab that number right now and they have a lien against their house.
Just shoot me an email, WGNDavid.com, and I'll hook you up with Steve.
All right. Colleen has a question. Hi, Colleen. David Hochberg.
Hello. I would like to know if you can refinance or get a home equity line of credit. We don't know if there's an equity in the house. We're currently under construction, and I don't know if you can do that while things are not necessarily all back together.
How much do you owe on your house, Colleen?
$200.
And what do you think your house and what shape is your house in right now? I mean, how torn up is it?
Well, we're doing siding on the front of the house. We just did a new roof and windows, but we have changed the windows, so we have some drywall work to do inside, and our plan is to do the kitchen.
Okay.
We're doing it ourselves.
Again, how much do you think the house is worth right now?
Generously, maybe $235, $240.
Yeah, that's kind of like ready, fire, aim there, Kath. You know, Colleen, and I'm not beating you up, but other people like Colleen, you should really plan ahead and maybe have a construction loan in place before you do the work so you're not sitting there in October without any windows on your house or ill-fitting windows. So here's what I'd recommend, Colleen. We have a number of different programs at Pearl Mortgage that could help you out with a construction loan to get yourself buttoned up before the winter happens. Okay, so go to WGN David. All right, send me an email, and I'll introduce you to our construction department, who will hopefully be able to help you out. All right.
Did you get an appraisal on a house that's not? Like-
yes.
Yes. Not complete?
Yes. It's called a preliminary appraisal based upon the completed price of your home. And, okay. You know, so they take in all the work that you're doing and lend you based upon what the house will be worth when you're done doing all the work. So, yes, oh, yes, yes. There are programs out there. They're called construction loans, and we could help you with that. Just go to WGN David, Colleen, and shoot me an email, and I'll get you in touch with the right department over
there. .com, right? WGNDavid.com?
WGNDavid.com, yes.
Good luck, Colleen.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Colleen.
All right.
A lot of people do that, though. A lot of people start the projects and think they have enough money, and then
they run out.
Yeah,
it always runs more than anticipated.
It always runs more.
Carla, David Hochberg.
Hey, Carla.
Hi, guys. I have a quick question. I am not a homeowner, so I have very little knowledge about the mortgage industry. However, I'm calling on behalf of my parents. They're 80 and 75. I'm thinking it was 10 or 15 years ago, they refinanced with a company. And from what I remember, the lender said to them, just get a 40-year mortgage because you won't live long.
Oh,
and so now I'm looking, I decided to look at their statement. The original amount was $101,000. And they, to date, again, this is 10 or 15 years ago, they have only paid $509
principal. All
right. So I'm looking, it's an adjustable rate mortgage information. So it's an adjustable rate. Their loan payment is pretty low because they're on a fixed income with Social Security and a pension.
What's their house worth?
Honestly, I mean, they're kind of in a low moderate area, so I'm thinking probably 120.
All right, so there's not a lot of equity there. Okay, so what's the question?
What do I do for them? I know eventually I'm going to have to get a house and I'll have them move in with me.
Right.
But in the meantime, I don't know if this is going to be next year or if it'll be 5 years or, you know, like what the lender said, maybe they won't live that long. But, you know, he's Sicilian, so it's probably going to be a while.
Okay.
So my question
Sicilians live a long time.
Somebody was talking to me about maybe applying for a modification to get into at least a fixed rate.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to recommend that you do. Send me a copy of the mortgage statement, okay, because they might have a HARP eligible loan if they've been in it for so long, okay? Just make a copy of their mortgage statement. Send it to me, david@pearldavid.com, or just go to wgndavid.com and attach the mortgage statement with the last four digits of their social security number so we can look up to see if it's a HARP qualified loan, home affordability refinance program. Okay.
Okay.
If you plan on doing something in the short term and getting them out of that house, again, what we talked about earlier, best thing for you might be not to do anything. Okay. It's all got to do with the monthly payment. It's not, I've been saying this since I got into this business 16 years ago. It's not about the rate. It's about the monthly payment. And if the parents are only going to live in the house, not because they plan on expiring, but because you plan on moving them out of the house, then there might, the best option might be to do nothing. Okay. But, you're so stressed out right now. I could hear it in your voice that you don't know what to do, but I do this for a living and I can look at it in 30 seconds, give you about four or five different options. And so you can make the best decision for your folks. How's that?
Okay.
All right.
Great. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
No problem, Carla. Thank you.
Thanks, Carla. And that's what it is. Buying a house, refinancing a house. This is all big stuff. It's real adult stuff that you get scared. It's frightening.
It's a lot of moving pieces. And it's like I tell people, if you want to know how to drive a truck, I'm not the guy to drive the truck, okay? I'm not the guy to back in the 18-wheeler into the loading dock in between two other tractors and two other trailers because I'd blast right through the freaking factory. I'm not that guy. But if you want to talk to me, I'll put the guy or gal in the truck that could back it in. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about mortgages, call me. Don't talk about backing a truck into a loading dock because there won't be a loading dock left.
All right, if you have questions, despite his craziness right now, he is the one to find the answers. And sometimes you can't help them. But I'll tell you, that expertise is worth so much. And when people are ready to refinance, they know to call you again.
Yep.
You're really awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
David Hochberg, WGN, david.com, or phone number?
312-751-1333, 312-751-1333. There's always somebody there to answer your phone call, and one of my guys, a member of my team, will get back to you.
And I'm unclear on one thing. You do drive trucks?
I do drive trucks. Not very well.
Okay. Yeah. Beep, couldn't make that up. Yeah. Thanks, David.
Beep. No problem, guys.
We'll take a quick break, and then the news, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
That I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad
it's
to the bone.
Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. A week ago at this time, I don't think any of us had any idea who Kenneth Bone was.
Do we now? That was posed to me this morning by my husband. Why is he the face of America?
On the presidential debate, on the town hall debate almost a week ago, Sunday night, he was one of the questioners. He was one of the people in the crowd who got to ask a question. He is involved in the coal business, so he asked a question about energy, sustainable energy. And for some reason, America took this man to heart, Ken Bone. we were talking about him yesterday.
Was it the red sweater? Is that why, or is it because his name's Bone?
I think it's a combination of everything. And, all of a sudden, he's on Jimmy Kimmel's show, and I saw him on several cable news outlets in the last couple of days.
He's too busy to do our show.
He was supposed to do our show today. Kevin had a conversation with him, a direct conversation, right? Now, he doesn't go through a publicist or anything.
That's actually something he complained about, is he doesn't have anyone handling his schedule for him.
So all of a sudden, he's overridden with offers and appearances, and he was unable to do the show today. But yesterday, when we were talking about him, somebody, and I think it was you, Kevin, I think. Didn't you say at some point there's going to be a Ken Bone Halloween costume?
Yeah, I asked when the sexy Ken Bone was coming out.
Yeah, the sexy Ken Bone Halloween costume. Here's a story from Yahoo from this morning. The sexy Ken Bone costume is already sold out. I didn't even know it existed, but not only does it exist, but now you can't even get it because it's sold out.
Spoiler, I bought all of them.
Did you buy all of them?
You can make your own.
It's easy. It's a big mustache. It's like a Ditka-like mustache, it's glasses, and a red sweater. And love, obviously.
Although the sexy one has a midriff bearing red sweater.
Did you watch the debate? Ken Bone has a bare midriff.
Don't.
Maybe that's why people like him so much. Now, here is the part that I think is the most stymieing.
Okay, little rascal.
Miss Crabtree told me to say that. The sexy Ken Bone costume is sold out. It was available through a company called Yandy.com and sold for $99.95.
What?
Just a nickel shy of $100. That's what you could purchase the Ken Bone costume. Now, keep in mind, think about for a minute the mechanics of this. Nobody knew who he was on Sunday. He became an overnight sensation on Sunday. By Monday, somebody's already drawn up the specifics of this costume, and it's on this website, Yandy. This is Thursday, and it's already gone. So at $100 a pop, just shy of $100 a pop. All this happened in a span of 4 days. That's amazing to me. How could anything happen in a span of 4 days? Halloween 2016, it says here, is going to be interesting. The clear trends have emerged ahead of the holiday. So far, those trends include politics, pumpkins, and creepy clowns. That's going to be a huge costume this year, is just those maniacal clowns. For those looking to the election for inspiration, a plain pantsuit or a golden toupee apparently will not do. So why not look to the more famous undecided voter, and that voter would be Mr. Kenneth Bone, the man we're talking about. For those wanting to add some sex appeal to the man's famous cable knit red sweater.
He is all about sexy. You don't have to add more sexy to the
Bone. I don't think
you
can make him more sexy. I don't think you can. it's entirely possible thanks to this company, Yandy.com. For $99.95, it says here in the ad for the costume, which again is sold out. Don't rush there to get it. You can't get it. It's already gone. Capture the hearts of America this Halloween in this Yandy exclusive sexy undecided voter. Now, you'll keep in mind, they don't say the name Ken Bone, because then you have to get his permission and pay him a residual. They don't mention his name at all. It just says sexy undecided voter.
That's genius.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. The most lovable political enthusiast of 2016, it says here. The description then reads, this costume features an iconic red crop top with cap sleeves, a white cropped undershirt, blue high-waisted pants with a black zipper closure, the must-have mustache, black glasses, and, of course, a microphone. All that's missing is a disposable camera.
Which I didn't know they even make those anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Because really, ever since phones came out, who uses them? But they right. couldn't bring electronics, so all of the people at the debate had
disposable cameras.
But we only found out about it because Ken Bone talked about it.
This ad was posted on Tuesday. The costumes sold out in less than a day. Again, keep in mind, this is for the miracle low price of just $99.95. But they say here, Yandy says, don't worry about it. We plan on restocking this soon. So my guess is they had a purchase order for a certain amount of these. I'd say three. Right?
Yes.
They sold out.
Right. Ken Bone, his wife, and his mother.
Right. Right. So then they said, okay, don't worry. Same people who rushed these can make as many more of them as we need. So you do stand a chance.
Well, his Twitter account has blown up. He had, I don't know, maybe 100 or 200 followers. I just followed him. He's up to 213,000 followers right now.
Amazing.
And Time Magazine did a little article. He only follows 38 people because anyone can follow him. But if you have a Twitter account, you can choose who to
sure.
follow.
Uh-huh.
And so they were wondering about the list of personalities, celebrities that Ken Bone follows. Can we take a break and can
yeah.
I come back and tell you the anointed few
yeah, I'd love
that
to
he
hear.
Follows?
I'm anxious to hear. All right, so that's coming up next. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Bill and Wendy here, and you mentioned the sexy Kenneth Bone costume that doesn't really say Kenneth Bone. It says sexy undecided voter. But he did mention that he went there kind of supporting Donald Trump, but after seeing the way that Hillary performed, he's now leaning towards Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Don't he? I guess technically he's sort of, he hasn't voted yet, so I guess anybody could be undecided.
Sure.
But now Time Magazine is writing about him. The internet's current crush, debate hero Kenneth Bone, has become a social media phenomenon. Phenomenon. Not least because of his perfectly pitched Twitter presence, but while his own account has blown up, he is now at about 213,000 followers. He keeps a tightly curated list of personalities that he himself follows on the social media platform. Just 38 users, in fact.
That's it. He's so, very discerning.
So who are these anointed lucky few? Do you want to know some of the people that he follows in the celebrity world?
I'm anxious to hear, yeah.
Most appear to be Bone's friends or personal connections. I noticed several Bones.
That's understandable, isn't it?
Yes, but he has selected a handful of celebrity people. First up, he follows How I Met Your Mother actor Neil Patrick Harris.
I can understand that.
Bone also...
He's a charming man.
He is. Bone also appears to be a fan of a number of young singer actresses, including Pitch Perfect's Anna Kendrick.
She's fantastic.
iCarly star Miranda Cosgrove.
Don't know who that is.
iCarly.
She's on iCarly. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, she was in School of Rock. You'd know her if you saw her.
Right.
And the upcoming Rocky Horror Picture Show's Victoria Justice.
Okay.
He also follows...
That's a Disney star, right? Isn't she in Disney stuff?
I don't know. I know she's going to be in Rocky Horror.
Okay.
Also, Ariana Grande.
I like her. She's great.
Ariana Grande also makes the bone cut, according to Time Magazine.
Whatever that means.
Rounding out the celebrity mix are the New England Patriots football player Chris Long.
Yeah.
And Emmy-winning comedian, actor, writer. Only one comedian does he follow. Any guesses? Because once you find out, it kind of makes sense.
It's a male or female?
It's a male.
All right. And it's an Emmy Award winner. Somebody who is popular right now, or somebody who
was
popular? His
voice is on a lot of things right now.
Oh, who could that be? Who could that be?
He at one time was on King of Queens. It's not Kevin James.
It's not Kevin James. Who is it?
Patton Oswalt.
Oh, is that right? Yeah?
Although, look at them. Maybe Ken Bone kind of identifies with them. They remind me of one another.
Oh, all right. It's a similar... I guess
put
it's
Patton
a...
in a red sweater. You've got the right. same person.
That is... All right.
Patton had tweeted at him, and like I saw the tweet from it, and he was like totally flattered by it. And
absolutely.
Geeked.
But don't you enjoy a guy whose tastes run the gamut from Victoria Justice and Ariana Grande to... Patton Oswalt, and then he likes football, obviously. I mean, it's funny that we're all scrutinizing this guy's likes and dislikes since nobody knew who he was 4 or 5 days ago. But he, I guess like most of us, he, you know,
he's into
he likes a little bit of different thing. Yeah.
There's right. no doubt he enjoys the finer things in life.
He sure does, Kevin. Well said.
I don't know about the finer things.
The finest.
I'm sorry.
Patton Oswalt is a very heady comedian, very thought-provoking.
Absolutely.
I like him a lot.
And Izod, the sale of Izod red sweaters. I mean, come on, an Izod sweater is not cheap.
Right, right.
He's done a great thing there.
So if you're him and you see that this company, Yandy.com, is kind of capitalizing on his...
I'd get an attorney. I'd get a publicist and an attorney.
That's what I'm wondering. Now, on their side, you say... It's all inferred that this is you. All we're saying is it's a sexy undecided voter. We're not saying that it's you. We don't have your name in the ad, even though the model looks like him and is dressed like him, except for the bare midriff. But could, if you're him, do you take this as a tribute and go, wow, a week ago nobody knew who he was, and now I'm a sexy Halloween costume? Or do you say, hey, attorneys, get on this. Don't let this happen.
I think you just answered your own question. Hey, now I'm a sexy Halloween costume. I say you leave it alone.
I think so. Don't tempt fate.
Right.
Enjoy the moment, right?
And an interesting question. Somebody wants to know, is it too late to get Ken Bone on the ballot? Yes, it is.
Sadly, it is.
This is a great...
There's another Bone on the ballot.
There's a great question that comes from a listener, 312. Why does no one care about the African-American man who asked a better question... And it's true. He said, what trait do you admire about each other?
That was the last question.
Yeah. And it was the better question, but it was the lack of the sweater, I believe.
It was, I thought of the whole debate, it was the best question.
Best question I've ever heard in a debate.
It was a fantastic question. So I guess the difference is just... It's not just the sweater, it's the way he carried himself. That guy looked like your average American. You see a guy who looks like Ken Bone every single day of your life.
You're right.
You know? So
he's the face of America.
That's it. Don't you think?
And the sweater.
And the slightly provocative name. I think it was everything packed into one thing.
Yeah, because if his name was Ken Smith.
Right. Then there's nothing to that.
Yeah, this is we like to play. That's what it is.
That's exactly it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got the news coming up, and then Dean Richards will join us. We'll talk about show business and which movies are coming out this weekend. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films,
then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean, Bill.
Oh, there's no disputing that.
It's nice to hear the music back.
Isn't well, that nice?
That's because Kevin's back. No one knew where to find it.
Been missing. Kevin took my music with him to Japan.
He travels with it.
A lot of people like to watch Big Bang Theory when they're going overseas.
Do you know, Kevin told us this earlier, that song was the number one hit in Japan, Dean.
Really?
He started playing it on his
really?
Walkman, and people loved it.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea that we had crossed.
Yep, it's so true.
They have good taste in Tokyo.
Oh, incredible taste. Incredible yeah. taste. Dean, for years you've been telling Wendy and me, Bob Dylan's going to win the Nobel Prize someday.
That's
and we
right.
always, we nod our heads, and then when you leave, Wendy goes, I don't think Bob Dylan.
No, I'm the one who thinks he totally deserves it.
Yeah.
Everybody else is saying, no way. He is a poet.
Yes, he is a poet.
And today the people at the Nobel Prize gave him the award for literature because of his poetic creativity. That was the that's the reason that they gave. His new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition gets the Nobel Prize for Literature, which is pretty cool.
And think about it. I mean, yes, you have your novels, your short stories.
Sure.
This songwriting is definitely a
no
type
question.
Of literature.
Do you think this opens the door for Huey Lewis, Dean?
I do.
Oh,
I
my
do.
God.
I right. do. Not only Huey Lewis, I was going to say Floodgate, bring on Bertie Higgins,
yes.
Key Largo.
We had it all.
Joey, no, you did not.
Hall. Joey Scarberry, believe it or not,
yep.
I'm walking on it. I mean, is there any more poetry than that?
All right, you
really?
Just, listen, Bob Dylan wrote some pretty prolific material.
Yes,
he did.
And John Lennon could be in there as well.
Should
who,
be. Who wasn't moved when Bob Dylan wrote the words,
All right. I just saw him last year, and nice. I thought he sounded a little like that still.
Yeah,
but, you know,
bit. He has bit. For the last 50 years. Yeah. No, really. I mean, when you think about Blowing in the Wind, the times
they are
changing
yep.
like a Rolling Stone. Go down the list.
Alice's Restaurant.
Go down the list of Dylan songs, and they are profoundly moving, truly pieces of poetry, a.k.a. because I'm too busy to say the words.
also known as?
I'm too busy for I don't have time for all
right,
that.
Right, you're a busy man.
Also literature. So it's completely appropriate. Now, here's the part. This is what he gets. He,
mm-hmm.
he gets the gold Nobel Prize medal.
Yeah.
Made out of gold.
Yeah.
He gets a diploma that says he's won the Nobel Prize, but then also a monetary award, $927,740. How weird and random is that?
That's a crazy amount of money.
It's a lot of money,
yeah.
But I've been trying to figure out how do they come to
it. I don't know.
Why that is weird.
Why not just round it off to something, $927,740. And the best that I can understand, because they've given out 9 Nobel Prizes for different
yeah.
you know, categories. I think this is all the money that they have left now. Whatever's left, that's what the last guy gets.
Well, that's a lot of money. I'm going to email him. He had a box set that came out. My son wanted it for Christmas. It was $600.
Wow.
And it included some vinyl and some CDs and tons of books.
Mm-hmm. CDs and books.
I would not let Michael spend $600 of his own money.
Let him spend the $600. Come on.
It's too much for that collection,
don't
Bob.
Be a cheapskate. Come
so
on.
Now you've got this $929,000 extra dollars. Maybe you can send me a freebie.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Good God.
Hey, Dean, this just came in over the wire. Jacob Dylan has been named Employee of the Month over at Zayer. How about that? Who
nice.
Saw that coming?
It's a good month for the Dylan family.
Yes, it sure is.
It is a good month.
I miss Zayer. Why'd
them.
You have to bring that
I'm
up?
Sorry.
I used to love Zayer. I bought my first 20 soap on a ropes there. I'll bet.
I liked their pizza.
Did they have pizza there?
Yes.
Finest pizza money could buy.
It was.
Zayer pizza.
I don't know why all I associate with Zayer is English leather soap on a rope. I
yeah, they did. They sold quite a bit of that, I think,
why.
On an end cap.
Very big on that in the 70s. Anyone who knew me in the 70s goes, oh, English leather. They didn't know soap on a rope, but they're like, oh, boy.
All of my men were English leather.
Here comes English leather. I'm sure that was my nickname behind my back.
So now what happens to Bob Dylan? Is this Like, he can play wherever he wants. He's Bob Dylan. This isn't an in to the bigger venues. What happens to Bob Dylan now that he's won a Nobel Prize?
He gets
feeling of pride.
I think nothing changes. He gets the medal that if it was me, I would wear around my neck
all the time.
Well, you wore your soap on a rope around your neck, too, so come on.
Very big, if you'll remember, before they put that plaque out on the sidewalk on the soon-to-be-gone Hall of Fame once they sell the building. I was wearing that around my neck. That's heavy. That's a heavy slab of concrete. That wasn't easy.
Dean, did you know that novelist E.L. Doctorow got his nickname because he was also a fan of English leather?
I didn't know that.
Yep, absolutely true.
I would like to smell some English leather now to see how far off I was.
Oh, it holds up.
So many things I did in the 70s that I can't believe I did.
Well, congrats to him, to Bob Dylan.
Robert Zimmerman.
Certainly worthy of the Nobel Prize, and now he's got one.
Yes.
There's a new Star Wars trailer out. This is exciting.
Are you into the whole Rogue, the Star Wars spinoff movies?
I'm anxious to see it. I want to see it.
It's a little tricky. It's not the main Star Wars movies. These are the ones now that will come in between the Star Wars movies. It's almost like if you were at a Disney park and you get off the ride and you have to walk through the gift shop, you get a little bonus.
Right.
It's like a Disney gift shop, a movie equivalent of a Disney gift shop.
Yeah, sure.
Basically, it's a little extra movie.
They call this a standalone. It doesn't fit in with the rest of the storyline. It's just a movie unto itself.
It's roughly set. It does sort of connect to the other movies, but it's like they take certain parts of the main movies and kind of focus in on them. This one, it's Rogue One, A Star Wars Story is what it's going to be called.
Mm-hmm.
It's roughly going to be set between episodes 3 and 4. So the end of the prequel trilogy, and in between the original trilogy, the original movie.
Okay.
And the story is supposed to focus on this little young group of rebels planning on destroying what they've heard, this infamous weapon of destruction called the Death Star, which was introduced to us in the first Star Wars movie. So that's supposed to be what this one is about. A new trailer out. I wasn't all that excited about it, I got to be honest with you, but this new trailer gives us a little bit more now. I think we can kind of relate it a little bit more to the original Star Wars saga, so it makes a little more sense. We'll see that. That's going to come out. The movie itself will come out December 16th. So.
And an old favorite from the first trilogy is in this one again, because he or she is still alive.
Because this is set in that time.
I think they're kind of selling this.
He's in the poster. He or she is in the...
Right.
I'm not as good at spoiler alerts, clearly, as Bill.
Yeah. I don't know how to say it without saying it, but somebody...
I don't even know who it is. Jim got up early to watch this morning.
All right.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was excited to watch it.
Yeah. Can I tell you who it is? It's Potsy.
Awesome. Does he sing in it?
Yeah, he sings in it.
I found my... I think that was Richie who was saying
song.
That.
Yeah. But Potsy's
still
back.
Just as impactful in a Star Wars bar.
So, like you said, Dean, this movie comes out right around Christmas time.
Yeah,
huh?
December 16th.
Okay, excellent.
When we're going to see this, and I'm sure they'll be hyping it up as much as possible. And I'll try to contribute to that also as much as possible.
Excellent.
Between now and then.
Nissan's doing a Rogue One car for a tie-in to it.
Are they really?
Yeah. I don't know what the difference is going to be from the regular Rogue, but it's going to be a Rogue One.
It flies.
That's awesome.
Excellent. All right.
There's no driver.
Dean Richards is here. If you're smelling English leather, that's why. Dean is our guest. We'll talk about which movies are coming out this weekend. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder, and Dean Richards is here to talk entertainment, show business, and, of course, which movies are coming out this weekend. I keep seeing ads for The Accountant. This is the Ben Affleck movie. What did you think, Dean?
I liked it. It's a little bit different. He's been Daredevil in the past. He is currently Batman, and now he is The Accountant, which is sort of an actual superhero minus the latex suit that they all have.
Does he have a calculator?
He's
calculating.
It's an interesting character. He is an autistic man.
Mm-hmm.
He is a mathematical savant, a genius accountant who is almost Rain Man like in his genius and his ability to remember things and numbers. So he uses this skill for evil and not good.
Oh.
He uses this skill to build companies out of money. And the Treasury Department is trying to hunt him down. Treasury Department here represented by Oscar winner J.K. Simmons, who's great in anything that he does.
Yeah, he is.
So you have this mathematical genius who is using his brain to take down people, but also, when it comes right down to it, is also great with physical confrontation. So he's also has the skills of an actual superhero, kind of a killing machine at the same time. It's an interesting mashup.
It sounds pretty cool.
Of these two different characters. It's not a perfect movie by any means. It kind of brings together, some different film genres that don't necessarily make sense. Sometimes a little comfortable, but I have to say, after seeing this movie, I kind of had fun watching this movie.
Oh, wow.
It's like, don't take it too seriously. It's a lot of it is completely improbable. While the government is looking for him, there is a company that wants him to look into a multi-million dollar deal that's happening with their company where they think somebody else is stealing that money. So they bring him in to help solve this case. Anna Kendrick is part of that subplot. So there are a few little different things going on here. Doesn't always make sense. It's a little bit Jason Bourne. It's mm-hmm. a little bit Goodwill Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Mashup. I sort of liked it. I wound up having a good time with this. It's a little bit longer than it needs to be. It's a little over 2 hours. I wound up giving it a Dean's List B.
Are there? I'm guessing because he's an accountant. There's a lot of very tense scenes of him going over receipts and trying to decide which deductions are allowable.
A lot of fatal paper cuts.
Yep.
That you don't see in a lot of movies. A lot of your bad guy movies, they use knives,
right.
And daggers.
Not him.
You'd be surprised what somebody can do with a legal pad. It's shocking to see what a man can do with a legal pad in this movie. He actually does a good job.
People are very divided on Ben Affleck, and I don't know why, because he's a really strong actor and an amazing director.
Yeah. I agree, yeah.
Because he was Batman.
It predates Batman. It really does predate Batman.
Started somewhere around Jennifer Lopez.
I forgot they were even together.
Yeah. Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
It was right around then where people stopped taking him seriously. And then what was that Superman movie where he played George Reeves? George Reeves? Steve?
Yeah.
George Reeves, right?
George Reeves.
And there people were like, oh, wait a minute. Ben Affleck, he is actually a really good actor.
Yeah.
And then, a couple of directing jobs. People stood up, actually got out of their chairs and stood up.
He deserves that.
And said he's a good actor. And I happen to fall into the I like Ben Affleck category.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. Nobody is.
Hollywoodland was there.
Hollywoodland was really good.
Hollywoodland was such a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been in some good movies. And like I said, I think he's 3 for 3 in the directing department, and that's not easy to do.
I am a fan of his. So,
yeah. All right.
I'm saying I think this is probably going to be the number one movie of the weekend. We didn't review because I hadn't seen it yet when I talked with you guys last week, but Girl on the Train,
mm-hmm.
I wound up being super disappointed in. It was the number one movie of last weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be this weekend. I think that Ben Affleck's movie will probably scoot up a little bit, but I wound up being a little disappointed, and that's pretty much what I've heard all week from people when I get response to my reviews pretty much all week mm-hmm. telling me either how brilliant I am or how much I suck.
Which do you read and which do you ignore, Dean?
I take them all into full consideration when I write each and every review.
Okay.
But pretty much everyone has said we were big fans of A Girl on the Train, the best-selling novel.
Yeah.
And they also were a little bit disappointed in that one from last week. So there's also a comedy film that's out this week. I mean, concert comedy film that's out this week from Kevin Hart. And a lot of people are divided on Kevin Hart also.
Yes.
Phil just isn't divided at all.
I don't like him at all.
You hate his guts.
It's I don't hate his guts. He's never made me even come close to laughing, not
really?
Even once.
You're like the only one I've heard ever who said that.
Most people love him. I just don't get it.
I don't love him, but he's got moments of laughter coming from me.
Even when he raises his voice when he's talking like that, you don't
even
think that's
then,
funny.
I See, just... Yeah.
You raise your voice to me. You get your voice up that high.
You enjoy that.
I don't even care what you're saying. I just like
it's
hearing
fun.
The octave.
No, I get it.
I enjoy
it.
Hearing the octave. So this, you probably will hate this movie.
I can't imagine a scenario where I would go to see a movie about Kevin Hart.
Well, it's him doing his stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
That's,
Bill's out.
That's mostly what this movie is. It starts off like a spoof of a James Bond movie. You know, it's like the James Bond music and the slick cars and, you know, martinis shaken, not stirred. Mm-hmm. And he's all...
Sounds hilarious. What are you saying, Bill?
All right, now I'll see it.
He's slick in his tuxedo.
I'll go see it.
And he, you know, he's walking up on what, you know, she's turned the other direction. Clearly a beautiful woman. You know, it's going to be a, like a, you know, Bond girl. And it's Halle Berry, who really was a Bond girl. And they kind of bumble and stumble through the opening of this movie, spoofing James Bond movies, which was a little bit funny. It didn't really need to be in the movie because it's about 5 minutes of the movie and really has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. You know, they make an escape, a James Bond-like escape, to the football stadium in Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field, which is an actual NFL football stadium there.
Yeah.
Not your usual venue for stand-up comedy. You can imagine. He sold that out.
Yeah.
He sold that out. Bill wasn't there, but a lot of other people.
There was he left an empty seat
there
where I
was. There was one empty seat. Bill was expected to show up.
Right.
But did not. I don't know what it would be like to see stand-up comedy in a football stadium if you were actually there.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the movie, it was actually kind of funny.
You enjoyed it?
I did enjoy it because I like him. It reminded me of, you know, like a Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, the sort of kind of those old school stand-up comedy movies.
Yeah.
He still is, you know, his signature Energizer Bunny persona. You know, and raises his voice, which makes it
That's
for me.
That's a good time.
But he, you know, his material is more about being a dad and a new husband. And it's a little, it's very definitely R-rated, but hearing him talk about things that I've never heard Kevin talk about before.
All right.
So I liked it. I gave it B+. Okay. I laughed many times out loud. All right. Enjoyed it.
Do you not want Dean on the show anymore?
No, I love Dean. All right. Dean's welcome here anytime.
I appreciate that.
You know, that
does kill.
I would like to see a movie, Dean, where you play Kevin Hart. I would see that movie.
And, you're too tall.
And Dean Richards as Kevin Hart.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, Dean, thank you. It sounds like there's some good things to see.
Yeah, there's some good stuff.
Excellent. That's
thank
Dean
you,
Richards.
Dean.
Watch him on the Channel 9, would you?
Well, say goodbye to Bob Dylan for me, Dean.
Hope you have a nice weekend.
You too. Now do Bob Dylan as Kevin Hart.
What am I like a monkey? Yeah. Just put a quarter in me?
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Dean. More after this. It's Phil and Wendy at WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. It's part two of our Thursday show. We're 312-981-7200. Kim, you just did a story in the news, and I only kind of half heard it because I was out in the hall putting my costume on for part two of the show.
It looks good, by the way.
Thank you. Very
wardrobe.
Kind. You're very kind. I am an Evanston resident. I lived there for many years. And you're saying that now there's people giving a flyer saying that they will paint your curb?
For $20.
For $20, they'll paint your address.
My brother was a curb painter.
Yeah,
was
the
he?
City's not sponsoring it, and the police don't know who they are, so they're a little bit concerned.
Oh, it could be a scam?
It could be, possibly. Or it could be, you know, the city's not aware of who it is or what exactly is going on, so they don't want to endorse it, and they just want people to be vigilant.
Right. So the curb is public property, though. Wouldn't you almost need some sort of permission from the city to do this sort of thing or not?
Well, is the curb public property or is that considered part of your driveway?
Mm. No, it is. I know the parkway is. I only know this because we had the emerald ash borer at our house. Charged him rent.
That's a foreign dignitary, correct? Who is that?
It's that beetle that destroyed all the
oh,
ash trees.
Right. I do know what that is.
And it destroyed the ash tree on the front parkway in between our sidewalk and the street, and the village took care of it. They cut it down. It was their responsibility. And the one in our backyard, we just had cut down. $2,000 later, we had to pay for it.
That's expensive.
I know.
That's so expensive. When I was a kid, I remember this group came by and they, in the middle of the night, they painted everybody's address, did a nice job, an incredible stenciling job in front of everybody's house on their curb. Their address was in like, I want to say a two-color, yeah, it was like a two-color process. It was black and yellow, but
I'll bet you this was my brother who did it.
It was so beautiful. And then everybody got a thing in between their door, like in their screen door, saying, hey, last night, as you'll probably notice, we painted everybody's address. If you want to donate money to us, please do. That's up to you. If you want to or not, that's up to you. The amount you want, that's up to you. And I remember my parents saying, boy, if somebody had come to us and said we're going to do this, we would have said no, but it looks great. So yeah, I think we gave them like 15 or 20 bucks.
God, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is kind of, isn't it?
I swear, my brother was on the high school football team and they needed a summer job. And he and a bunch of his buddies would go. They had the stencils. They had the paint.
Yeah.
And they just went around. They'd do it. And then they'd go ring their doorbell and say, hey, I just did your curb. Care to give us a donation?
But think about like most businesses, you almost can't do it that way. You almost can't do something and then say, hey, I've already done the job. You got any money for me?
But this isn't, it was up to you. It was at your discretion.
Right.
Whether. Why can't discretion? I say R's and W's?
I wonder
Swayze how, Wabbit.
If you do that, I wonder what your average is of people saying, I didn't tell you to do it. I'm glad you did it, but I'm not paying you.
All they wanted was beer money.
Oh.
That's really all they wanted.
Yeah.
And this is the same brother of mine who used to call a pizza place in the neighborhood and order a pizza.
Yeah.
And they would give a fake name and address and phone number. And then he and his friend would go to the pizza place and go, hey, you got any extra pizzas that nobody picked up? And they'd get it for half price.
Wow.
Again, nice entrepreneurial of him.
It is.
I
want to scold him for this, but at the same point, you go, that's
kind of genius.
Yeah.
It's my brother.
And that's hard work for beer money. I mean, painting those curbs.
They worked really hard. Yeah.
These guys did it in the middle of the night. I mean, I don't know how much they
just did. That's weird. How could they see it in the middle of the night? Were the letters, the numbers straight?
I think they only did it on evenings with full moons.
Glow in the dark paint.
It was called Full Moon Painters, and now I know why. I could never figure out why they had that name.
I thought it's because you saw the full moon when they were bending over painting
right.
It.
That had something to do with it too. Now, speaking of pizza, as a side note, earlier in the show, in part one of the show, I don't remember exactly how it was mentioned, but I made fun of Zayers Pizza, and you said, now Zayers, for people who don't know, was a big department store chain for years and years and years. They've been gone for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
We haven't had a Zayers in about 20
years.
Weren't
they taken over by Target?
I think
they were in Kentucky.
I thought Turnstile took them over. But was Zayer and Turnstile there at the same time?
Yeah. In a lot of places, they were kind of contemporaries. I think it probably went on a case-by-case basis. I'm sure there were places where the changes bought up a whole bunch of stores, like what happened when 7-Eleven first went out of business. I'm sorry,
White Hen Pantry
did, and 7-Eleven swallowed up most of their stores.
Yeah.
Right? All right, so I remember having the pizza there at Zayer once and actually thinking that the cardboard that it was on was more tasty than the pizza.
You just want to hurt other people's opinions,
but
don't you?
But you loved it.
Listen, when you go shopping with your grandma, aunt, mom, and sister, and cousin every Saturday and mm-hmm. you're a little kid, mm-hmm. you go because you want to walk out of there with a new toy and a hot piece of pizza.
No, I get it. So when you think of it, it evokes a happy memory of those days.
It was really good. It was just your basic cheese pizza cut in giant. It was super thin. I like thin pizza.
Yeah.
It was a little limp like a cardboard, I guess you could compare it to the two. But there was Orange Julius that was at shopping malls.
Yeah.
It was the same. Was it Orange Julius? No, there
orange
was another.
Spot.
No, there was another orange thing. And it wasn't Donald Trump.
Wait, there was
Orange
another.
Julius and something orange, and they had...
Not Orange Spot? Because in Lincoln Mall, there was Orange Spot Pizza.
This was North Riverside. Someone knows. 312-981-7200. It wasn't Orange Julius. It was...
There was a place called... was it Fat Sam's or...
We didn't have...
I always get this mixed up because there was a hair place called either Fat Sam's or Fantastic Sam's, and then there was also a pizza place, like really kind of... lower end pizza, the cheaper pizza, and I want to say that was Fat Sam's. Does that sound right?
I've never heard of a
Yours
Fat Sam's.
Yours was orange.
That was my neighbor.
So maybe it was him. I might have been thinking of him.
Orange Bowl.
Orange Bowl.
That's what it was.
It is
not
Orange
Spot.
Ours was called Orange Spot, but I remember Orange Bowl was in Bremerton Mall was Orange Spot.
That was North Riverside, and they had almost the identical pizza to Zaire. It was just your basic roll the dough really flat. It's just a cheese pizza, boring, but it was the closest thing I found to Zaire pizza. And it's funny because someone texted us during the break. Wendy's Zaire pizza was the first pizza I ever had about 40 years ago. And to this day, anytime I try a new pizza, I compare it to Zaire. Thanks for making me feel a little less crazy. Hey.
Imagine that in a city that pizza is just incredible. Like you could go to 1,000 incredible pizza places.
But this but is for the some suburbs. People,
yeah, but still, I mean, the suburbs has Lou Malnati's and Giordano's and Nancy's. You could find all those in the suburbs.
But if you like a thin pizza.
Oh, I get. Although all those places also have a thin version.
I know.
I know this is sacrilegious to say. I like Lou Malnati's thin more than I like their bigger stuffed pizza. Everybody else loves the stuffed pizza, and I like that fine, but to me, the thin is really good there, too.
It's too crunchy for
me.
Is
it too crunchy?
I like the thick if you're going Lou Malnati's. Yeah. And I, you know, change off. I'm having a difficult time talking.
Stop with the words. Who needs the words?
Zaire closed in 1990, according to Dave Plyer, who just texted
26
us.
26 years ago.
We've gone
26 years without a Zaire.
What will we do?
They were the first ones. You know, everybody makes a big deal now over places at Christmas time that go 24 hours. Zaire was by far the first ones to do that. They were the only ones doing that.
Z-A-Y-R-E.
Yeah. Big neon letters.
Zaire.
Yep. Zaire. A quick break and then a lot more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Do you know what I remember most about Orange Bowl, the pizza place you were just referring to?
What?
They were almost always, if not always, in shopping centers. I don't remember them ever not being in a shopping
center. No standalone.
No free standalone Orange Bowls. I remember when you would go in to the ones by me anyway. So that would have been either Bremerton Mall or Orland Square and maybe Lincoln Mall. You know, Lincoln Mall did have one, I remember. They led the league in that thing that has drinks in it where it shoots the drink up into the plexiglass top. You know, like that fountain-y look.
Oh, yeah.
They had like, I want to say six or seven different colors.
Are you sure that wasn't Orange Julius?
No, Orange Julius had orange.
The frozen
they would have
kind
to
of
make
thing?
Them.
Oh, okay.
You'd go in and either say either orange, strawberry, or pineapple. Those are your three Orange Julius flavors. They've since added pomegranate because they change with the times.
They're still around?
Yeah, there's still a few of them. There was one in the State of Illinois building until just a couple months ago.
Really? Aren't they connected to Dairy Queen, a lot of them?
Yeah. Yeah, almost always. Yeah.
Wow. I do remember those globes of soda.
You always
orange.
See them in like Greek, you know, the Greek diners that sell like every kind of food imaginable. You can go in and order anything. They always have one or two or three, but the Orange Bowl had like six or seven of them. And I always thought if I worked here, I'd get hypnotized by those. They were so hypnotic to just stare at.
Well, I loved the pizza there and it's Zaire. And it's someone suggested, and I remember Venture took over Zaire because I know the one in Lyons that we went to on Harlem turned the black and white into Venture because I liked the font on the Zaire sign.
It had a very dated look.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like a pink glowy, almost like a neon letter? Isn't that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah. Somebody sent a YouTube video for their grand opening and it, I know it was orange or yellow, but it had a really cool font.
They
I was into
missed.
Fonts back then.
As a child?
I really was.
So many little kids love fonts.
I did.
Would you base your shopping based
Maybe.
On the fonts of the store?
And the pizza.
I'm not going. Look at the font up there. What is that, New Times Roman? I'm not
no,
going in that store.
That's not. Times New Roman, by the way, a nice out of order.
What is it? What should it be?
You said New Times Roman.
I don't know
it's
what it
Times
is.
New Roman. That is just too straight and boring. This is more like
Comic Sans?
No, it's not that. More like Verdana.
Vogue.
I remember going to the Orange Bowl in Woodfield in the 70s. My friends and I loved it. It was a ritual. It was a teenage place.
It was always a teenage place. And, you know, if you're in the market for a zebra cone, you're not going to find a better place than Orange Bowl. They had the best zebra cones.
And they never had seats. They just had counters where you could go stand up against the main counter. And then there were off to the sides, there were just counters. No chairs. You had to stand up and eat your pizza.
Yeah. For some reason, and I believe me, I've tried to figure out why I was so impressed by this. But when we used to go to Ford City was the first mall in the area. You know, that was
indoor
the big,
mall.
Yeah, the first indoor mall. There were plenty of outdoor ones, but that was the first indoor mall. So I don't know if you remember this, but
we never went to Ford City.
You didn't go to Ford City?
No, we had Yorktown. No, I did like Yorktown's font.
Look at this hellhole. Look at the font they're using it for. I'm not going in there.
I had Yorktown, Oak Brook, and North Riverside to choose from. So there's no way we were going all the way to Ford City.
We would drive from Oak Forest to Ford City. That's a 35-minute trip each way.
Look at the things we remember.
I know.
We're going to the mall.
Yay. So inside Ford City, in two different places, because it was vast, you had these little, like, in the middle of the mall diners, just like in the center, not in the center of the mall, not the actual center, but just walking through the mall, there was like a little, how do I describe it? It was kind of like
a restaurant
indoor
kiosk?
Diner. Yeah. And we never ate there because my parents were like, why would we eat there? But every time I'd go there, I'd
Let's go to Orange
Can
Bowl.
We please eat there? It, to me, that looked so continental, but it was just the opposite, really. It wasn't it was really cheap, but they were filled to the rafters. There wasn't an open slot anywhere. And I would just beg my parents, that looks like such a great place to eat. Based on what? Why would we want to eat there?
Because when we were growing up, there was nothing else. I mean, think of all the things these kids have today. I know I sound like a grandma. I know.
Wow.
I'm not a grandmother yet, a great aunt, but not a grandmother.
Yeah.
It was something special and fun. And then when you got a little older, your parents would drop you off at the mall when you were a teenager. And that's what you would do to have fun. You'd walk around the mall.
You
never had money to really buy anything.
Right.
But it was like mall gangs.
Right. Right.
God. Yeah.
You miss those days a little?
Kind of. Wasn't it innocent? And
you should do that with your friends today. Just gather four or five girls and just hang out in the middle of the mall.
No, wait a couple of years and I can go walking with the seniors at the mall because that's
right.
What they do. History repeats itself.
Everything comes full circle. All right, we'll take a quick break and then a lot more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks so much. In a half an hour, actor Michael Rooker, who, if you had to describe Michael in a word, what would the word be?
How he appears or how he truly is?
Those would be very different, right? Let's
yes.
go with how he appears.
Menacing.
Menacing. I love it. And then how he truly is?
Pussycat.
Yep.
He's going to come running in here and punching me because he doesn't.
Michael Rooker is a menacing pussycat. He's going to join us in a half an hour.
Judy's so excited. She's counting the minutes up here.
I knew that Judy was going to come back and throw herself into this situation.
Judy tried to force Michael to marry her a year and a half ago.
Well, she already said my boyfriend's coming in today as soon as she walked in the door.
Yep. It got embarrassing a year and a half ago.
Was she even working on our show at the time?
No.
Yes, she was. She said she was. Yes.
All right. But she
It doesn't matter. Judy's everywhere. Come
I was
on.
Thinking about it today, and I'm like, Michael Rooker's coming in. Judy's not working with us anymore. She's on Rose Show. Maybe we could let that bit die.
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Judy will not have it.
That's not happening.
Yeah,
I saw Judy's folders, at her folders say Mr. and Mrs. Judy Rooker all over her folders. It's embarrassing. John McNaughton, fine, fine film director, also, he'll be by in a half an hour.
So talk Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Yep.
The re-release.
Yep. Speaking of show business, Forbes has put out their list. Now, I'll tell you what the title of the list is, and it just sounds strange, because it is strange. The highest paid dead celebrities of 2016. This has been a banner year for celebrities who are dead in terms of making money.
I got two that come to the top of my head.
Who comes? I have the top 10. Who do you think would be on the list?
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra is not on the top 10. He still earned a decent non-living.
Non-living?
I don't know what to say because you can't say he earned a living if he's dead. He earned a not breathing, but he's not in the top 10.
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, I think, he did really well. The late Bob Marley in the past calendar year earned $21 million. Not bad for a guy who's been dead for a while. It's pretty good.
So much merchandise that people still keep buying.
Yeah,
though.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. So in the last slot, you have Elizabeth Taylor, the lovely, stunning Elizabeth Taylor. She hasn't
She's
been
dead?
Around for a while. Yeah, she passed away. I didn't want you to know because I know that you're a big fan of her work, and she's no longer with us. She made $8 million in 2016. That's pretty good.
Compared to Bob Marley's 20-something million?
Yeah. Did you ever see Bob Marley in National Velvet? Because his version of it's nowhere near as good as Elizabeth Taylor's, although he was great in Little Women. Boy, was he good in Little Women. Steve McQueen did all right in the past
How
year.
How so?
$9 million. Just residuals from, you know, movies that he's been in.
I guess.
So his estate, of course, takes this money on. David Bowie just died a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
So this one, I don't think David Bowie should be on the list because he was alive through most of the last year. But $10.5 million for David Bowie. This is the biggest shocker. No, actually, there are two big shockers to me in terms of making money and no longer being alive. Betty Page made $11 million.
The original pinup girl?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There are people that go nuts for Betty Page. It's a very specific look, like a late 40s, early 1950s look. Kind of a, what would you call the hairstyle? I don't know exactly how to describe
it. Curly and fluffy, kind of. Wavy. It's like...
It's so dated. It's a very dated, like you rarely see somebody with this hairstyle today. A lot of hairstyles will cycle back around, but this one is so...
It looks like there are curlers in her hair without curlers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Very, very pale skin, but very dark featured, like hair and eyebrows and
stuff. And the gams that go
I'm telling you. Betty Page, no longer with us, still made $11 million.
Oh, I guess it was more just a bangs... I thought I remembered it being more like kind of a pulled back with a head band.
No, it's more, it is bangy. It's very bangy. How did Albert Einstein make $11.5 million this year? How is that possible? What's
Einstein
he,
bagels.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
His bagel empire is still making good money. You do see his likeness on a lot of shirts. You know, it'll just be his face and it'll say E equals MC square. And that's it.
He gets credit for that?
I think they must have to pay his estate just for the use of the likeness, right? You'd have to pay them something.
I guess.
But he did all right this year, 11 and a half. I would imagine that even in his prime when he was alive, he probably didn't have many years where he made $11 million, did he, Albert Einstein?
God, no.
I don't think so.
He's better off dead.
Yeah, I guess so. Although it's hard to convince anybody of that.
Betty Page had black, very black, dark hair, pale skin, bangs straight across, and then the back long wavy.
Right.
Would that be an accurate?
Yeah. Ask for that the next time you're in a beauty shop.
Okay.
Tell them you want that.
She was sexy.
Wendy Theodore Geisel made $20 million last year.
That would be Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss, 20 mil.
There's a lovely picture of Betty Page and the Wolf Man.
Now you have shown me a picture of Betty. She forgot to put her pants on there. And the Wolfman seems okay with the Wolfman's just going, hey, full moon.
Google Betty Page and the Wolfman if you want a little.
they were a huge item for a while.
I didn't.
Betty Page and the Wolfman, all the gossip columnists were writing about them. Google had a hopper. They were in love.
The moon's out early.
The moon came out early, says the Wolfman. You know, Dr. Seuss, though, for 20 mil, think about it. Every kid, do you know a single kid that doesn't have a complement of Dr. Seuss books? You have 4, 5, 6 Dr. Seuss
Pop
books.
Pop on Pop.
Right.
Yertle
the Turtle.
Oh, I loved Yertle the Turtle.
Eggs and Ham.
Green Eggs and Ham for sure.
Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the Hat. Mulberry Street. What's that one called? The Things I See on Mulberry Street
something like that.
And then If I Ran the Circus. I love
that's
that one.
Book.
That's a great one.
And the book that kind of had a resurgence, right? Michael's 17. So right around the time I was pregnant with him, that Oh, the Places You'll Be book came out.
That's a good one.
Where you were supposed to read it to your baby in utero.
Yeah.
So both of my kids, Jim read to my stomach. I just got hungry. Yes.
Or in Oak Park. Where did he read it? Bob Marley, you just mentioned, made $21 million. That's pretty good money. Prince just recently died. So again, I put him and David Bowie on the list of, I think you have to wait a year before you make the highest paid dead celebrity list. But Prince pulled in $25 million.
But I'm telling you, between Bowie and Prince, I bet more of their sales went on after they died.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Because you all, they're no longer there. So all of a sudden you want the Prince record and the Bowie catalog.
Yeah, that makes sense. Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the list every year. $27 million, even though he's no longer with us. I'm surprised L. Ron Hubbard's not on here.
Dianetics still is being sold.
I still see it in bookstores.
It's still a top seller, though?
It's still, No, not a top seller, but he still does pretty good. And he's one of those guys who's been dead forever, but you still see the new book by L. Ron Hubbard, and you go, really? Because he's not been around for a while. How's he still writing new books?
It's like that real estate guy who has these things that he doesn't attend. What's his name?
Kiyosaki. Kiyosaki. Robert Kiyosaki will not be attending this event. But he will still be paid for it. That seems fair. Arnold Palmer just died less than a month ago.
Poor Arnold.
He's on the list.
Well, he's making the Arizona Tea Company with all the Arnold Palmers.
Right.
And his golf stuff. It's still out there. Gloves and clothing.
I imagine it'll be like that forever for Arnold Palmer. That's a name people trust. That name is synonymous with good golf. You can't go wrong if you're Arnold Palmer.
Here's an idea. I'd like to make all my money before I die.
There's something to that. Although, it's got to be comforting knowing if you have descendants that they'll be taken care of for years and years and years.
Who cares about them?
Really?
They can fend for themselves.
I hope your kids are listening.
They're at school.
Charles Schultz. Very high up on the list. Number two, as a matter of fact. Charles
I know
Schultz,
nothing.
Not that Schultz. Oh. That's a different Schultz. Charles Schultz, or Charles M. Schultz, as we call him.
Peanuts.
The Peanuts creator. A very good year for him. $48 million.
Wow.
He made as much as Arnold Palmer and Elizabeth Taylor together. Charles Schultz. And then the number one earner among celebrities that are no longer with us. Can you even guess? Who do you think it would be? He or she made not just a little bit more. They made roughly almost 20 times as much.
I have two guesses. I have
Charles
a guess,
Schultz.
Too.
I know you'll know it, Kim. I know Kim will know it. I'm curious as to whether you'll guess it.
Judy Garland.
It's not Judy Garland. She's not on the list at all.
Elvis?
No, we already mentioned
Elvis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Elvis came
that's
in fourth
right.
with 27 million.
You're getting the news ready. You have an excuse. I have no excuse.
So it's not Judy Garland. Who else do you think it could be?
Can we take a guess from a listener?
Yeah, sure.
I'm curious to know if this is right. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon. You know, Helen Brock from the Brock Candy fame, she's making a good buck even in death. They have a Helen Brock Foundation in downtown Chicago. So I guess she left a ton of money to her, you know, beloved animals and rescue shelters and so forth and so on. And, you know, plus what she had from the candy fountain or the candy fame.
See, but I don't think they would consider her to be a celebrity so much as a business magnet, right?
All right.
Well, she was a celebrity. I mean, to an extent,
a local treasure.
A local celebrity, but not, you know, of nationwide fame.
Right.
All right, Eric.
But I know she has plenty of money to go around.
Should we take a break? And I think people want to guess. Although this isn't fair because you can look it up these days.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Should I just say who it is?
Is it Mickey Rooney?
Yes.
I am going to throw
no,
up.
No, it's not Mickey Rooney.
Oh, my God. He doesn't deserve it.
No.
Is he dead?
Yeah, Mickey died about a year ago.
Oh, that's right.
No more Mickey Rooney.
I just don't get that whole thing.
And he was broke.
That's right. You're right. I did feel for him.
But think about, like, his heyday was, you know, in the 40s when they really weren't paying. I mean, even though he had a tremendous body of work, they weren't paying an incredible sum of money. You'd be comfortable if you were a leading man in Hollywood.
Shirley Temple.
No. It's not Shirley Temple.
Darn it. I don't know who it is.
Shall I share it with you?
Give us a hint.
He's a controversial figure.
And he's dead?
Yes. Does that help, or it should help a little bit?
God, who isn't these days?
Very, very controversial figure. Speaking of which, I don't know if this guy's controversial necessarily.
W.C. Fields.
Yes! No, not him. I'm kind of surprised. There's a few names that right off the bat I go, like Marlon Brando's not here?
Marlon Brando
had a bunch of great movies over the years.
But not the merchandise. I'm telling you, a lot
true.
Of this is the merchandise. Does this controversial figure have merchandise? Who's number one?
He has, because of what he did to make himself famous, the byproduct of that is still being sold pretty rapidly.
The guy...
Does that... I think that should
Ron
help.
Ron Popeil?
No.
Kurt Cobain?
No, but that's another person.
Oh, that's a great guess.
I would have thought Kurt Cobain would have been among the highest earners, or maybe that's starting to, is that starting to fade a little bit? People's worship of Kurt Cobain, is that going away a little bit?
I don't think so, but there's only a limited number of albums, so
right.
it's, you know.
Burt Lahr.
You're a liar. You're a lar.
I'm not a lar.
That's not it.
It's not Brit Lar.
All right, can we take a break really
sure.
quickly?
And then I will tell you who the highest, again, the list according to Forbes, the highest paid dead celebrities of 2016. The list that, if you're on the list, it's incredibly a kind of a mixed message. You're thrilled that you're making that kind of money, but then you go, yeah, but I'm dead, so what good is it being on this list? So I will tell you who the number one is. And like I said, almost 20 times as much as the person in second place. So who is it? I'll tell you in a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, dead celebrities. I should have known this. You've gone through the list of these top earning celebrities even after their demise.
Yeah, Forbes magazine puts this list out every year, I guess to make us, the people who don't make millions and millions of dollars, feel good about the fact that we're not dead, and that no matter what we do, we will never earn as much as these people, even though they've passed away. It's kind of a mixed message. All right, so we already told you Elizabeth Taylor made $8 million, Steve McQueen $9 million, all the way through Charles Schulz, who did pretty well for himself, all things considered. He made $48 million last year. But the number one earner among celebrities who cannot breathe, are you ready?
I know who it is.
Do you know who it is?
Dale Earnhardt.
That's a great guess.
Isn't it, though?
That's a really good guess.
I really thought that was going to be it, but I know who it is. Is it the number one? I should have guessed this the first thing in. Is he a musician?
Yes.
I bought so much of this paraphernalia for my kids' bedroom, like bedding and cribs. John Lennon.
No.
It isn't?
John Lennon was already mentioned.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was... Again, a decent year for John Lennon at 12 mil.
Because all those little like doodles that he did, they put together in children's bedding, and I swear to God, both cribs for both boys had all that. I bought so much. Yoko's rich because of me.
You made Yoko rich?
Yes, I did. You can thank me now.
Are you happy about that?
I don't care.
You shouldn't be happy about that.
It's a musician.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I think I know who it is, but I can't think of his name.
No, then it's not him, because you would know his name.
Jamaican?
He's fairly famous.
No, we said Bob Marley.
No, that's not who I'm thinking.
What other Jamaican?
All right.
That other famous Jamaican singer.
Who?
Shall I?
Gene Shalit?
It's Gene Shalit.
I don't know.
He's still alive. How could he be on the list?
Because of what he has done.
He's done a lot for people. For the, you know, anytime you buy at Halloween, you'll see that thing in trick shops that's glasses and a nose and a mustache. I think Gene Shalit gets a cut of that. So he's very wealthy. you're gonna hate yourself.
I already
do. I'm gonna tell you who it is. Kim, you two, both of you, are gonna go.
Can we see if David has the right
everybody
answer?
Everybody knows this. This is embarrassing.
All right, David, what is it, Mr. Smarty Pants?
Oh, I got the idea from you guys. And his father, I think his name was Joe Jackson.
Yes.
He's probably living really well because of his son, Michael.
Absolutely right, Michael Jackson.
Of course.
MJ, not that MJ, the other MJ, $825 million, even though he's no longer with us.
Wow.
That's in 1 year, $825 million.
I am so stupid. Thanks for rubbing it in, David.
Sometimes the obvious is not obvious.
That's it. That's it exactly.
All right, well, do we have a Lou Malnati's pizza to give to David? We were talking about pizza earlier. We'll set you up, Lou Malnati's gift certificate. How's that?
Thank you for your radio, people.
Thank you so much, David. And Zayer, by the way, wants to start doing these giveaways with us, too. Zayer wants to give away pizza. We'll do that next week.
Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Staring me right in the face, Michael Jackson was. And that $800 million, all from the Silver Glove.
Yes. Some record sales might figure in a little bit.
Wow.
And right now, Tito right now is choking on his banana. We'll take a quick break.
He's limber.
When we...
They're moonwalking all the way to the bank.
All the way to the bank, Kim. We'll take a break. Kim has the news. And then Michael Rooker, who's so intense and lovable all at the same time, and John McNaughton will be with us.
I hear him now talking to Judy.
They're in the
Judy
hallway.
Has come down here to profess her love.
Right. With a dowry. She's explaining her dowry to Michael Rooker. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
God, I remember this music.
What is this do to you? You hear this. What happens?
It gives me chills.
Sure it does.
And so does the guy who's in the studio, one of the two, Michael Rooker, who is, of course, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, and the guy who gave us Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, John McNaughton.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. I just have to say, John, when you were on here a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about it, I had said, it's a work of art. You have to see it. And we got a couple of texts from people saying, why would you tell people to see that movie? It is awesome. It's intense. It is different, but it is a beautiful work of art.
I hope so. Like I said, I didn't go to film school. I went to art school. So
it's a piece of art.
Know, and if you go to L.A., they make entertainment. And that's great, and I love entertainment. But unfortunately, I went to art school, and I'm going to end my career by saying, to me, it was a work of art.
It really was.
You don't work in L.A. if you tell them you want to do art.
Michael, at the time of the movie, you were a stage actor, right? You had you done a film yet, or is this your first film?
It's my first film.
It was your first.
I had done little bits and pieces of gigs, movies, or TV shows that had come into town. You know, like all the Chicago actors would do. You know, they do theater mainly, and if they got a little day player kind of gig, you know, they'd go do it. You know, and so that's what I'd been doing up to that point, and so this is my first real. Any kind of character with any sort of through line or any, so it was very cool.
John had shared with us the story about how they had seen other actors for the role, for the title role, and nobody quite did it, but then you walked in and all of a sudden everybody knew you were the guy. What was that like on your end? Did you know right away this was going to be a life-changing part?
No, not at all.
No?
No. I mean, there wasn't even a script. Right, you guys.
No, we had a script. We had a script. By the way,
I didn't see a script. They only
writing the script.
They only gave me like a couple of 3x5 cards.
Right? No, that's it.
I don't remember specifically, but Richard and I were up in his apartment writing the script.
Yeah.
So perhaps the script wasn't done yet.
It hadn't been done yet. So I hadn't.
Interestingly, we did finish the script when we brought the actors in for rehearsals. But since it was, you know, everybody except for me was from theater.
Yeah.
So we had a couple of weeks rehearsals. But, you know, Richard Fire, who was very much a man of the theater, said, well, you'll all have to write character bios. Well, Michael kind of balked at that. So Michael did a character bio on tape, you know, and brought it back. But what was interesting, each one of the three, Michael, Tommy, and Tracy, stuff that they had written in their character bios, we weaved back into the
you
script.
You incorporated it back into the script.
And that to me is like, then the roles are custom tailored to the actor, and you can't beat that.
Yeah.
But you didn't tell them the real, the behind the scenes story about how I taped.
I'll let you tell that one.
I was so upset and sort of like, oh, jeez, please. I did it as I was on the commode.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was a little like, I'll give him a bio. Here's your bio.
All right, so it's the 30th anniversary, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m., AMC River East Theater, the 4K restored version of this movie. Is it going to look different, John?
We tried to just, you know, clean up, but to get it to look exactly like it was intended to look in the first place. This was never meant to look slick and polished. So, Steve Jones and I went to
You get corrected
on the South
English
Side,
people.
So you have to forgive me. But we supervised the color correction and the audio remix. And, you know, it's like I say, we didn't try to make it look better or slicker or, you know, we try to make it look like what it was supposed to look like in the first place without the deleterious effect of the years.
And a little Q&A going on after the film?
I believe so.
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
What's the question you usually get?
Say it like you mean it, Michael. Yeah, we're going to have fun.
What are you usually asked about this film? When people know that you're involved with it, what do they tend to ask you more than anything else? Is there one thing that just keeps coming up over and over again?
The first thing that comes up is the look.
Yeah.
There's a look.
Yeah.
And you know, almost every time I know they're going to say Henry. You know, there's a different look for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
A little more polished,
you're in better
maybe.
Shape now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for Henry, there's a certain look, and it's a certain body language, and I know, and I go, yeah, I know, right?
You thought
I was taller.
Don't you think Henry falls into this? Like, people who go to the movies to be scared, yeah, the Wolfman's scary, and Frankenstein and Dracula's scary, but we all know somebody who could potentially be Henry, you know, and that's what makes him even scarier.
Well, I'm going to jump in here, and I remember, I don't think it was me that asked Michael, but somebody asked Michael in my presence, well, how did you ever, you know, be able to become that character? I mean, to get into that, the head. And Michael just looked, he said, I had an uncle that was just like
them. Oh, good. Perfect.
Yeah, I got a couple uncles that were like that.
Where are you from originally?
Similar kind of body language in Alabama. Originally, yeah.
And you moved here as a teen?
Yeah, when I was 13.
Yep.
Yeah, I grew up mainly over Devon and Division Ashland.
Yeah.
Over by Pulaski Park. I went to Wells High School.
In the serial killer district.
Right? That's right.
I know that area pretty well.
Okay, and the actor who played Otis, the late, great, what is his name?
Tom Tolles.
Tolles is how you say it. He was amazing in that film.
Tommy Tolles came out of theater, too. It's interesting. He died last year, and we went. He had two services, one in L.A. and one here, and we went and scattered his ashes on Lake Michigan and then went back, and his family had put together this whole slideshow presentation of Tommy's career before he was in movies, when he was in theater. And it was nothing like his movie career.
Not
he played these
all.
Magnificent
great,
fantasy
great
characters,
actor,
and he was
actor.
Just, he was, you know, I didn't realize the characters he'd played as a theater actor. It was just, you know, and I think it's our fault we sent him off on a career of playing lowlifes and, you know, scoundrels.
Because the typecasting
amazing,
happened after that.
Fantastical characters.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Not for you, though, Michael. I mean, you went a different route than Henry after that was released.
Well, I had to. You know?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
I guess, yeah.
Oh, man. You know? I tell people all the time, I've done that. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I pass, you know.
That took a lot out of you, didn't it?
To pass on
to
a
be
gig?
Henry,
to pass on a paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but
that takes a lot of days.
But you know, that's what I mean. I mean, you get offered. People remember you from the last thing you did.
Yeah,
sure.
And so Henry was so memorable. I mean, I have people coming up to me 30 years later saying, "Oh my God, I couldn't even walk to my car afterwards after seeing that screening." So, you know, it really moved people, and it's still in their psyche somewhere back there in their brain that, you know, I've lost gigs because of that movie.
Oh, no.
And I've gotten gigs because of the movie, you know.
How do you, though, when you spend time playing a character like that, how do you shake that at the end of the day? I know you're an actor, and I know you put in your time, but when you're done playing a guy like that, when you're driving home and you're finally home, how do you not be that guy for a while?
Well, you know, I tried very diligently to stay in character all day long.
Yeah?
While I was playing the role.
Yeah.
And I would, they prepared a little room for me, you know.
The Henry
and,
room.
And I'd go and I'd sit in my room and wait until they say, you know, okay, we're ready, and knock on the door, and I'd come out and do the scene, then go back into my room.
Yeah.
And so the room that I got had mirrors all around. So I put paper all over the mirrors, I remember, because I didn't want to look at myself, and I had them. I don't think I used the light bulb. I sat in the dark, and hung out until they came for me, and then I would do it. And so that's what I did all day long. So after my day was over, I made a very diligent effort to just sort of clear myself and just you know, kind of get back to normal.
Sure.
As normal as you could be.
You know, it's a very interesting role. It's a very
a
tough role to play, and so I wanted to sort of clear myself before the next day's work.
John, do you think the message of the film would have been diminished if you would have included a wacky outtakes reel during the closing credits?
We have, you know, somewhere
I bet
they exist.
There are.
Believe me, somewhere they exist.
That we'll never see.
Nobody should see that.
Oh,
yeah.
My favorite. I'll just describe a scene. We had to cut it out, but there was this, you know, one of the ideas of the film was that, you know, it's a dangerous world out there.
Yeah.
So at one point, Henry and Otis have coming home from killing somebody, and lo and behold, some guy's broken in, and he's got Becky, and he's raping her, basically.
Yeah.
So Michael, Henry beats the hell out of him and heaves him out the window.
Yeah.
He and Otis pick him up and heave him out the window. And when you see that scene, not the rape part, but heaving him out the window is funny.
Yeah.
They just beat him senseless and pitch him out the window.
Out the window.
And it's just like, no, we can't.
It worked way, way better for having to have Otis rape his sister.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then it's, you know.
Then it's really.
But there was a moral compass to Henry and Otis, I guess.
Not to Otis.
Otis had, all right, good point.
Otis made Henry look good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's Henry was one of the very shocking things.
That's it.
I'm surprised Disney even agreed to make this movie, aren't you? Shocking, isn't it?
We have to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Michael Rooker's here, John McNaughton's here. We're talking about Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. It's the 30th anniversary, and you can see a restored version. It's stunning. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. In the studio right now, we're continuing our little lovely chat with actor Michael Rooker and director John McNaughton. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer has been restored, and the premiere of the 4K restored cult classic Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, tomorrow night, 9 p.m., AMC River East Theater. And you can go to chicagofilmfestival.com. Is that the best place to tell people to go? Or does Henry have a website, henryportraitofaserialkiller.com?
Yep.
All right. You can find out all that information. Michael, let's talk The Walking Dead. I was telling you off the air. I wasn't into it. I didn't want to watch it. My 13-year-old son, 2 years ago, so 11 at the time, you got to watch this, Mom. I'm telling you, this is the best thing on TV. I don't want zombies. It's more about zombies. It's relationships. It's survival. That's coming from a little kid. I love that. You were great.
Yeah, 13-year-old, you know. So it gets him ready for any sort of emergency.
He has water stashed.
For example, if there's a zombie apocalypse here in Chicago, mm-hmm. I mean, what are you going to do, right? Mm-hmm.
He asks us that.
What's your weapon of choice, Mom?
No, he said, Mom, you're going to last 30 seconds. You're going to be in a fetal position crying. I said, that will be me. I'm not even going to fight these zombies.
I keep a pizza cutter on me at all times, Michael, just in case. I don't have trouble.
I keep a beer bottle opener on me at all times.
Oh, that's a good one. And Guardians of the Galaxy, great job. You are busy.
Yes, yes, yes. It's nice to be busy. Could be working, and I have a good time doing it. So I'll just keep going until I drop.
Hopefully, many years in the future.
Many years from now. Yes.
When there's a show though that you're on, a hit show like Walking Dead, and you're quick spoiler alert, you might not be as big a part of it now as you were a couple of years ago. Do you still keep in contact with the show? Do you still watch the show and want to see where the characters go?
You know, I do. I'm still a fan of the show. I all my friends are still on it.
Yeah.
And it's good to see what's going to happen and what's coming up next.
Yeah.
I wonder who Negan got. I can't even think about it.
Yeah. You got it. You know what? You're still thinking about it, even though you're not. You're pretending like you're not thinking about it.
Oh, I'm thinking about it all the time.
Who do you think is going to get it?
I can't say. I don't want to do spoiler
alerts.
Don't
worry. It's not a spoiler. It's your opinion. You don't know the answer.
See, if it follows the comic book, which it has been.
Well, it's Glenn, right? Yeah.
That's what everybody's thinking.
But you never know. They don't always follow the comic book.
That's what I like about that show. Yeah. You never know what to expect.
That's right.
What a fervent fan base. I mean, the people who love the show, they know everything about the show. It's amazing.
Well, it stems from horror. Horror fans are very loyal. The fan base for horror is great.
Yeah.
They're never going to disappear. They love you forever, no matter how bad you are.
Yeah, right.
They're very accepting.
And they're very accepting and loving. And so Henry, for example, and it stemmed right into George Romero's 9 of the Living Dead, Now we got The Walking Dead.
It all ties in.
It's awesome stuff.
All right, so based on that, this question is for both of you. You've scared so many people over the years. What movie or television show has really scared you?
Great question, Bill.
Thank you.
Were you up late thinking
of
that?
I thought about that at 2 a.m.
There was an episode of Thriller that Boris Karloff used to host years ago.
The anthology show?
When I was a kid, and it was about this painting of the Grim Reaper, but it would keep going whoosh, whoosh, and it would kill people. It would slice them to pieces. And
the painting would come alive?
Yeah, the painting would come alive. So anyway, when I was a kid, it's just like I had nightmares forever and ever and ever. And I saw it as an adult, and it was silly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
and mine is like, I The actress's name is Black. Her last name
Karen
is
Karen Black.
Black. Karen Black.
Oh, yeah.
She did an episode where this little kind of native, African native doll comes to life.
Trilogy of Terrors. Right.
And I absolutely adore that. When I was a kid and I watched it, I saw it.
Yeah.
I was like jumping out of crazy. My seat.
That's Dan Curtis, the guy who did Dark Shadows and Kolchak the Night Stalker. That's his work, Trilogy of Terror.
Good
really
stuff.
Scary. So scary.
That's a great.
And I love the Twilight Zones. Did you get into that and stuff too? The Hitchhiker. I love that one. Scares me. It's freaky stuff.
The Twilight Zone is one of my favorite stuff. That's my. I used to get the Twilight Zone magazine.
Yeah,
I got that.
You read the stories.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Carol, his wife, Rod Serling's wife, put that out for several years. Really good.
And what was the movie? Was it Night Must Fall, the British movie where the ventriloquist dummy comes alive?
Dead of Night. Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting
really
ready to
good
write
movie.
A, Right,
that was Michael Redgrave. He was in that.
Listen to you just whipping out the names.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, the guy who did Dark Shadows. That was his stuff. And Kolchak the Night Stalker.
I know some stuff.
He knows his stuff.
He's a fan.
He is a fan. And as soon as he said Karen Black is the queen of all that, really, she did a great job. And if you've not seen Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, because I didn't see it on the big screen, and I got to be honest with you, I'm thankful the first time I saw it, I didn't, because it would have been too much. Mm-hmm. Too much. But now you can see the 4K restored classic Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. It's all happening tomorrow night at 9, AMC River East Theater on East Illinois. You can go, actually, you can just go to Michael Rooker online. That's the easiest place to tell people to go, because all that information is out there. And Michael, you love your fans. You see tons of Instagram and Facebook posts of you just eating it up when these fans love you at all these places you are.
Well,
you're
you know,
so
go,
good
we
to
go
them.
To these events and just have a blast. We have an absolute blast at these things. And this, the Chicago Film Festival is, I was just talking with John a few minutes ago before we came in here. Henry, first time it was ever seen was
at the festival.
Was it really?
At the Chicago Film Festival.
Wow.
Back in 1986.
Yeah, we had, again, we had, all we had was a 3/4 inch video cassette, which was, you know, we had to change it over, but the festival didn't have 3/4 inch projector, so we had to go rent one and set it up and pay out of pocket. And I think it was $175, which neither of us had at that in those days. Set it up in the music box, 2:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon, October 25th, 1986. And from that point on, things changed.
It's amazing.
Then we're at Telluride.
Yeah.
And then everything just went.
Sure.
Roger Ebert then saw it at Telluride, put it on his 10 best list. But I do want to say thanks to Michael Kutza, who is the person who runs and, you know, the festival is, the Chicago Film Festival is founded by him and he runs it to this day. You know, and he gave us that break in 1986. That was, and that was the beginning.
If you haven't seen it, you have to see it. You really do. It's Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. You can go to chicagofilmfestival.com, michaelrookeronline.com. Find out it's tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.
We filmed it right in my old neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The gangs were out one night.
Tell them, yes.
The late Richard Fire, who was the co-writer with me, was trying to calm down the gangs. And Richard was, like you say, a man of the theater. He wasn't a gangy type guy that, and they were about to kill him.
Seriously.
Yeah, they were about to. And Rooker came out and he knew all of them. So it's true. It's absolutely true.
He's the peacemaker.
It was. They came in, they cornered us in that alley.
Yeah.
They cornered us in the alleyway. They wanted to know where the big mouth was. They're going to take him out. And I'm like, he's there. He's right there. But can you not take him out yet? We need him for another 2 weeks.
Then he's yours.
So we finish the movie. Then you can have him. Please take him. And they were like, and one of the guys he goes, Animal. That you? That was my nickname.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Animal.
Bill, do you want to tell him we have to take a break?
No, that's your job.
Got to take a break. Yes. Okay, we got to take a break, guys. We'll see you back in a few minutes.
Michael Rooker, John McNaughton, it's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. This whole place has gone nuts because Michael Rooker was here.
Yes. Yes.
I
know he was mid-story and didn't have a chance to finish his story.
Go to the screening tomorrow night. He'll finish it.
Yeah.
He thought he was here for the rest of the afternoon.
Right. And we both knew our lives were in danger if we were going to tell him that his segment was over. So we didn't.
I hate to say this, but we have bigger fish to fry because I know Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer has been reissued, restored. It's going to be showing tomorrow night. But we have this own, our own weird thing going on, which is the presidential election. Mm-hmm. And ABC News correspondent Andy Field on the line with us. All right. People accuse us of picking on Donald Trump and not picking on Hillary Clinton. But we're going to talk about both of the candidates right now, aren't we, Andy?
Why not? They both seem to have issues in this campaign. All right, let's start with Hillary. The emails keep on coming. John Podesta, her campaign chairman. There's nothing in here that seems to be a showstopper. There's a lot of worrying about Hillary Clinton not connecting with voters, worrying about what to do about Bernie Sanders, hoping that Donald Trump wins the election because that would be good for her. But there's no real bombshells in this here. It's just kind of embarrassing behind-the-scenes stuff. The stuff that is troublesome for the Clinton campaign is the deleted emails after she got a subpoena not to do that. The optics of that are just horrible. But because Donald Trump has had so many missteps and leaked tapes and now the latest stuff with women coming out of the woodwork saying that he groped them and would go backstage at Miss USA pageants while they're all undressed, this stuff is so overwhelming that even if you report the stuff on Hillary Clinton, no one's paying attention.
It doesn't seem like, I mean, listen, I know when you're told don't delete those emails, you shouldn't. I was showing Bill on my phone right now, I have 77,141,000 emails. Am I lying?
Yeah, there's over 77,000 on
this. So, you know, when you think you're getting rid of some of the garbage emails, at first 30,000 sounded like a huge amount to me. It's really not when you have 77,000 on your phone right now. So to me, that doesn't do anything for me. Donald Trump treating women like they're objects is a huge difference.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting, and this is the interesting tack that the Trump campaign has got, this kind of scorched earth last month of the campaign, where no matter who makes an accusation against Donald Trump, their line is all the accusers are lying. But they will then trot out Bill Clinton's accusers and saying all of them are telling the truth. And I'm not quite sure how he determines that, but other than it's him and Bill Clinton. But the other thing is that Bill Clinton is not running for office. Certainly it's embarrassing to Hillary Clinton, and certainly there are things that she has done where she has called people like Jennifer Flowers a failed lounge singer and certainly wasn't particularly supportive of his accusers, but you wouldn't expect the wife of someone
exactly
who believes her husband to come out and go, yeah, let's go air
what
their...
What a nice lady. You wouldn't say that.
Right.
Andy, a week ago, WikiLeaks said that they had some information about Mrs. Clinton that they were going to divulge, and it could be a game changer. Is this the information? Is it these dumped emails? Is that all the information they had, or are they holding on to something bigger?
They seem to have been able to infiltrate everything John Podesta's ever written, so he needs to change his password. But
right, immediately.
You know, the most damaging thing came out of the debate, or at least it appeared on the surface, where she said you have to have a public position and a private position on things, and she literally was referring to the Abraham Lincoln movie that Steven Spielberg did.
Yeah.
And when you look at the full transcript of the stuff that leaked, she actually says, as I was watching this Abraham Lincoln movie, I noticed.
Yeah.
So, and of course, Donald Trump said, well, she's lying. She's making up about Abraham Lincoln, but she wasn't.
They're both lying. And I know, I think it was 80% lies or misspeaks from Donald Trump and 20% misspeaks from Hillary Clinton at the last debate.
That's, well, there you go. It's kind of like how much mileage do you get on your car?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's the same thing.
How many lies per minute do you get on your car?
All right. So where do we go from here? The election is less than a month away. What do we glean from this? Is there something?
We are in the most I've covered elections now, and this is going to make me sound very old since Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I am very old. Oh. But
all right.
But what's interesting is that I have never seen anything like this. I've never seen candidates who literally cannot stomach each other.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't even shake hands at the beginning of this last debate here. That's unprecedented.
They did at the end.
I was going to ask you about that. I was almost happy to see them not pretend to be friends at the beginning. I gave them both credit for that. But then at the end, there was that photo op handshake. Who's that for?
Because of the last question that was asked, what do you admire about each other?
It was kind of a kumbaya moment. Yep, so they go, oh, let me shake your hand and then go wash it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Chemical bath within moments. Right.
The Silkwood shower, yep. I believe.
Yep.
All right. Well, I don't know what to believe. I also read something about, I don't know if this is one of the women that said something, but she worked with People Magazine and she was assigned to doing everything Trump. And that is this one of the women who's coming out right now?
She is. Now, what's interesting about the New York Times, I don't know if that was that one in particular was in the New York Times. I think it may have been in People Magazine. The New York Times vetted all the people that they put in their story about people saying they were groped or harassed or whatever happened. And they found people who could back these people up saying, yes, at the time it happened, she told me about this. Now, a lot of it is... You know, Donald Trump keeps going, why didn't they bring a lawsuit at the time? Well, I'm not quite sure how you bring a lawsuit about someone grabbing your knee or trying to slip your hand up a dress. I mean, that's a tough lawsuit to bring. And a lot of times, I'm not a woman, so I don't know, I've never been in that situation, but I've talked to women who say, look, you know, I just let it go and just hope he would forget about it and that would be the end of it.
I could see that happening completely.
And so this is very tough territory. But Donald Trump, this is what makes this all the more credible. He has been caught on tape saying he does these things, and then at the debate he said, "No, I didn't do any of these things." And these women got mad and they go, "Yes, you did. I'm going to come out and talk about it."
And I mean, they have to look into this. Look at when all this stuff started coming out about Bill Cosby. No one believed it, and then more and more women were jumping on the bandwagon, and you have to believe it at some point.
Well, with Bill Cosby, a lot of that has been kind of buzzing in the background. You have to also remember, Bill Cosby paid off a lot of these people
True.
To just go away. There are reports that Donald Trump has all these confidentiality agreements when he settles things with people. We don't know how many of these things, if they did come up to be complaints or threats of lawsuits, that he may have settled. We just don't know.
And how do we prove that they're truthful, that these women are truthful? How does that ultimately turn out before the election less than a month?
That's a tough case, but if you get enough Miss USA's going, yeah, he did walk in on us when we were undressed, he's bragged about doing that on Howard Stern. There was one piece of tape that came out from Howard Stern today that's just kind of stunning, where they're talking about his antics, and this, I think it was in 2006, and Howard Stern says, you know, what you're describing is being a sexual predator. You're a sexual predator. And he's kind of smiling and laughing and nodding his head, which is just breathtaking.
Howard Stern, the new source for your for your news.
Andy, will the publishers of Trump's book have to recall The Art of the Deal and change the title to The Art of the Field? Do you think that will happen anytime soon?
I'm surprised there hasn't been a pornographic movie made of that yet.
I know.
Bill, get working on it.
I'm going to start on that this afternoon.
Andy, thank you so much. I don't know what to make of any of this, but we appreciate
it. We only have, 28 days left?
That's it.
Going to be the longest 28 days of our lives.
This has really been a torturous political season on both sides. I mean, yep. You know, the Trump people, you mentioned at the beginning that people say you're not coming down hard enough on Hillary Clinton. There are many Democrats who look at her and kind of go, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for her because I can't vote for Trump.
Yeah.
But those numbers are increasing, and now she's got an 11-point lead over him across the country in a four-way race.
And this was just 4% yesterday or something? Has it gone up since yesterday?
Last week it was like 4 points, but since this backstage Access Hollywood tape came out, it is just gone through the roof. And in fact, he's even pulled a lot of his campaign operation out of Virginia because it seems to be a lost cause at this point.
Andy, because you've been covering elections so long, you already know this. They have what they call the November surprise. Each team wants to find some secret about their opponent and pull it out right before the election. This year, it seems like every day there's a November surprise, and it just doesn't seem to matter as much.
Yeah, it's kind of the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday surprise.
Right.
It's really hard to imagine a stranger election. Virtually every major newspaper has denounced Donald Trump and their editorial board and said they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton. We've got now 30, I think, Republicans who are have pulled their support from him.
Yeah.
Many of them have said you should just drop out of the race.
Yeah.
And that's what's feeding him and giving him the fire to continue, because he thinks they shouldn't be going against him. I'll
and
show
one
you.
One of the scarier things is that he is going to rallies, you know, where people are now talking about revolution and we're not going to accept the results unless you win. And that's unprecedented in our electoral system.
Yep. Yep. Andy, we appreciate it. Thanks
so much. One final question.
Oh, sure.
Who's Billy Bush voting for? Have you heard that word yet, Andy?
We haven't heard much from Billy Bush, and I got a feeling we're not going to for quite some time.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Andy, thank you. It's been crazy. It'll get crazier. It's Andy Field from ABC News. We'll take a quick break, and then there's
the Bushy
more.
Is probably voting for Hillary.
I would.
He's mad
he
at Donald.
I know. It makes sense. All right, stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Just some Michael Jackson music to soothe you.
Who?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel like doing that. I taught myself how to moon dance. Thank you very much.
Are you a moon dancer, are you?
Yeah? I have to do it in socks on a very slippery floor, but yes, I can do it.
All right. Sometime tomorrow, maybe, at Tree Time, you can pull that out and show everybody.
That's right. We are going to be out at Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington.
Yep.
Starting at noon. Amy Guth and her friend from WGN-TV Morning News. We'll be filling in for us from 10 to noon.
Yeah, then the triumphant return of Steve Bertrand, who's been on a globe-trotting tour all over the planet. He'll be back tomorrow for the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Meadowlark Bertrand.
Meadowlark Bertrand is what we call him.
And then us from 1 to 3 at Tree Time in Lake Barrington. If you've never been there, please come out and visit us. A, because we're there.
Mm-hmm.
Pinstripes will provide us pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that you can imagine Christmassy for your home, this is where you'll find
it. Beautiful.
Various prices.
Yep. Something for everybody.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun.
Trying to talk Michael Rooker into joining us.
He would be fun.
Loves Christmas. Nuts for Christmas.
Father Christmas.
Yes.
Everyone is still saying we're bashing Trump and that we're not being fair. Have we been told by the station that we have to be fair? Because
I'd be the first to admit that when criticizing your two major candidates, we have criticized Donald Trump far more than Hillary Clinton.
There's
no question.
There's more going on.
There's a lot more going on.
A lot more to criticize in his.
I think so.
I just wonder if I really liked him and was planning on voting for him, if I would be able to brush all this stuff under the rug.
I'm sure everybody's tolerance for that is different. I'm positive of that.
But there are people who are just saying, you know, I don't care what he's done or what he says. I still believe in him.
For me, the very first step. Now, I kind of just knew him as a business magnate and as a reality show host. But when he started taking swipes at John McCain, that's when I started questioning his ethics. Because see what you want about John McCain. The guy was a prisoner of war.
Well, that's his problem. He got caught.
That was Trump's stance on this.
But that can't be real, Bill.
But as soon as that started to happen, I go, wait, show a little respect for a guy whose life was in danger every day of his life. He was afraid they were going to come in and finish him off. How do you criticize a guy like that? But he did, and that was just the beginning. I mean, it just rolled from there. So to anybody texting or listening or calling in saying, hey, when you guys criticize the two candidates, you're really ripping on Trump way more.
There's more to rip on. There really is.
Yeah.
Unless you like him and then you can overlook things and, you know, you do that. I just would like to see someone run this country that I don't love either of them. I'll tell you that right now. But just vote on November. What's the date again?
Trump says the 29th.
He said the 28th.
28th, did he?
It's the 8th, I believe. Was he thinking maybe there's 28 days till the election?
Maybe. I don't know.
That has to be what he was thinking. Because we're less than a month away, people. So,
boy, this one just snuck right up on us, this election. Nobody's been talking about it. Now it's just a month away. How did that happen?
I will be so glad when it's over. Oh, my God.
And maybe.
If Donald Trump wins, he's the president. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
Die.
Are you going to die now?
I don't know.
What happened to you?
I don't know.
All right. Ro and Anna are in studio today, not at the United Center, but here in person. We'll talk to them next at Spill and Wendy on WGN.